The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
What is that? Somebody made a tape of something dying or something.
Turn that crap off! What's going on?
I want this music out of my head.
Hey, turn that off! Turn that off right now!
PFW in Progress with Red Kirsch.
Well, Dick, here's the deal. I'm the best there is, plain and simple. I mean, I wake up in the morning, I piss excellence, and nobody can hang with my stuff. I'm just a big, hairy American winning machine. If you ain't first, you're last.
Paul Perillo.
Shut up in here. I'm trying to sleep. One of you turds is about to get smacked in the mouth.
Hey, stop yelling at me, okay?
And Andy. And Andy?
Hey, Ryder! Drive
me! Please be 18.
Andy Hart.
We were shellbacks together, Andy. You got payback coming.
Eric Scalavino.
Remember that time we got kicked out of biology for playing with Matchbox cars?
Yeah!
Who's retarded now?
For now, anyway.
My husband Gregory and I wish only for that which every other couple wishes for. To tame Komodo dragons in Sri Lanka.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Hakuna Matata, bitches.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Tuesday here at Gillette Stadium. We're getting ready for preseason game number 3 in Detroit, Thursday night.
This one counts
because it's a Kraft Sports production broadcast, and that means Paul and Andy, Waldorf and Statford. What's it?
Statler and Waldorf.
And Waldorf. Yeah.
We'll be back on the broadcast along with
Matt
Chatham and Christian Fourier and Danny Roach. The team's back for this one, and it'll be on Patriots.com. So for all those people that are wondering, yes, this one is on Patriots.com.
Just don't tell
So we're all excited about that. We're also excited about...
If you play it backwards, it's on Patriots.com.
We're also excited about getting into this phase of the training camp.
Yes, the end of it.
Training camp isn't over
yet. Well, I'm actually a little confused. But I'm actually a little confused with that.
And Bill really confused me yesterday.
Yes, because after the game, he said, it's not over. Let me be clear, training camp's not over. And then yesterday, we're not in the training camp phase anymore.
We're out of the hotel. We're out of training camp.
Well, that is the...
Well, which is it?
Well, maybe, you know, now, as of Monday... Training camp, you know, really ends when the players move out of the hotel. That's when it is.
I think.
From a fan's perspective, training camp begins the first day of practice, and it ends the last day they're allowed to come to practice.
But
that's training camp.
But it isn't.
I know, but that's the perception
For the fans. But for the players, until they're out of that hotel and back in their own bed, they're still in camp.
Sure.
And those days were one and the same this year. Maybe it's not like that every year, but this year, Andy's right.
Well,
on Friday, they were out of the hotel, and training camp wasn't over.
But the last public practice was Wednesday, and they didn't move out of the hotel until Monday, right?
No, Thursday practice was Thursday.
Thursday was the last public practice.
Then they had a game.
Right.
They never practiced again.
But they didn't move out of the hotel until Monday.
But they never practiced again.
All right.
So, I'm completely convinced if someone had said, training camp is about halfway done, he would have said, no, training camp's over. I'm completely convinced of it. Completely convinced.
Bill,
that no
it's Friday night. No,
whatever the questioner suggested
somewhere.
That it was, he was going to say the opposite.
Probably, but
not for everyone.
Anyway, so we're moving into that phase now. Game 3, we know, is the game where usually the starters move past the half and into the third quarter just to kind of get that feeling, and then they take them out sometime in the third quarter, maybe after a series or maybe two. You know, who knows. So that's good. And then the first cutdown date is when?
1 week from today.
One week from today.
Well, 27th. The Patriots' first cutdown date already happened.
And they have to get down to 75.
The way we're going, we're not going to have to make any moves to get down to that.
Right.
Yeah.
Bill, what are we going to bring? You know, bring six guys in that'll be here for like 2 days, then we'll cut them again?
I don't know.
What's
Bill,
the point?
I was under the impression that roster spots were important.
So
you got Jake Ballard because the Giants need
down to 75 a week from today.
Yep, and then 4 days later,
the
53.
Yep.
And speaking of which, I just posted a roster projection
prognostication
on the blog. I'm not sure how good it's going to look
in
a week or so.
That's back to Saturday. after last year's experiment?
The 31st.
That's quite unfortunate.
It'll be by 4 in 31 NFL cities by midnight here.
No, but last year they did it on a Friday, yeah, so at least right. It was late on Friday. You didn't ruin your whole weekend.
I think they only did that last year because the Giants had to play the Wednesday night because of the Obama speech on the Thursday, so they needed to give everybody an extra day.
You are correct. Yeah. That is exactly why they did it.
All right, the gang's all here. Eric, Paul, Andy, Fred, Kevin's in the booth, and here are the digits. to call in, and the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, or the new toll-free number, 855-PATS-500.
The North American
the toll-free. The only 855 number I've ever heard of.
855-PATS-500.
I'm just curious.
You know Strippers is now going to send in a whole list of companies that have 855 numbers.
Fine. I have never heard of them.
I hope one's like Scalavino.com.
And if you're thinking to yourself, boy, Fred seems very professional today, reading those numbers off very well, that's not a coincidence. And your ears are not deceiving you.
Yes, Mark Bertrand, the host of our pre- and post-game show, was nice enough to create this whole big sign. In a little holder with all the numbers, including the email address, webradio@patriots.com, and all the Twitter handles for everybody here and the hashtag for the pregame social so he doesn't forget anything.
He's a professional. Yeah. It's also got the schedule on the back.
Only get here on time for the pregame show.
He is promising that.
Yeah, he has made the promise that his travel problems are a thing of the past.
What's going on over there? So but it's preseason, so he'll be fine.
Yeah, vacations. Preseason. Vacations have hurt him.
Yeah,
he'll be fine. The first 2 weeks he had to co-host.
Well, he'll be fine.
Yeah. Speaking of fine,
yes.
I don't know, a lot of Gronk news.
Which is non-news.
Well,
really.
Schefter. Yeah.
Oh, NFL. Did you see the NFL media just sent out a tweet that Gronk back practicing? No,
what?
He's not. But then in the little thing, it says that he's running and expected to be ready in the middle of September.
That's not
for God's
sake.
No, he's not practicing.
And if he were practicing, he'd have to come off PUP. Yeah, so now you're creating
Flat out inaccurate.
I was going to actually send something, but then I didn't want to get involved because of that whole PUP thing. I didn't want to get myself in trouble.
Yeah, Schefter said it's unlikely he's going to be able to start the season, and people said, oh, well, really? But that wasn't
which
the question.
Not
the question
news.
Is whether or not he was going to be on PUP.
Correct.
Or not. Yeah. Either way, I don't think anyone expected him to be ready for the Bills game.
No.
You know, either way.
Yeah, this is the biggest non-news story. Maybe bigger non-news story than Brady's knee.
Right.
Is it bigger non-news than when Rappaport tweeted that
he'd be on
PUP on camp? It's hard to tell.
No, that was bigger non-news.
That was bigger non-news than this.
So that makes it lesser news if it's bigger non-news.
Okay. Yeah, the Rappaport story was lesser news.
You know,
bigger non-news.
Because we have had no information on Gronk. I am happy, though, to learn, if it's accurate, that he's lifting weights. Because that way we know he's putting stress on it, and so that's a good thing.
Stress on which?
On his back.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And his forearm.
Maybe.
Right.
Yeah, right.
He may not be putting stress on his back.
Well, I mean, pretty much any type of lifting you do.
If you were benching, you wouldn't really.
Really?
If you had strict form, lightweight, nope.
Strict form, lightweight.
Charles Atlas.
He's all proud of himself over there. Too.
Charles Atlas.
Well, it's pure physics.
Yeah. Pure form. God. But there is the if you have a bad back.
Strict form, lightweight?
Yeah. Yeah.
If there's a problem with your back, a doctor's going
to
say, go do bench.
Well, it depends. Did you read Gordy's comments and how they ruined the other brother?
Oh.
How they ruined.
Yeah, but somebody there who was reportedly a professional said, hey, get back in there and lift weights. Bad stuff happens. I'm not saying it would happen here, but look, we don't know how much he's doing.
I'm talking to the Patriots fans right now. You guys don't have to listen. It's encouraging news to learn, if it's true, that he's lifting weights.
I'm encouraged by when he just walks by the fans and gives his coy
weight. I'm not talking to you guys.
No, this.
You guys don't deserve
that makes me feel good.
We're agreeing.
No, but Fred, of course it's good news. You recall last week when we talked about this, and I had actually played the role of you a little bit, and you kept saying, you know, well, what do you expect? And I said, well, I don't know what they know. And, you know, the whole thing about PUP or not. And I do not just think blindly he should be on PUP. If that story, as you just said, today by Karen Garigian in the Herald, that story that had detail of when they think that he might be able to be back, which week 3, Tampa Bay, if that's accurate, there's no reason to put him on PUP. Because even if it ends up being week 5 instead of week 3, to me, he's good enough to be worth it for that one or two extra games that you might get in PUP.
Right.
Unless you know that he's, you know, if the game in question were week 5 or week 6, you know, maybe he can be back for week 6. By all means, put him on PUP for the span of 1 week. What's the sense?
Right.
But if it's the difference of possibly 3 weeks, he's worth it to me. If he's going to be ready week three, but maybe you might want to play it cautious and hold him out to week four or even week five, having him for a game or two that you wouldn't have been able to have him for PUP is worth it.
Now, the real deep analytical fans and conspiracy theorists, perhaps, say that, you know, one factor now in that decision of whether or not to put him on PUP could be the Dustin Keller injury in Miami. You know, you want to keep that extra roster spot to keep perhaps the other tight end on so you don't release him to the market and make him available to Miami, whether that's Ballard or Sudfeld or whoever, you know. I don't know. Do you
I wouldn't
buy
be,
into that?
Well, if you do, I wouldn't be scared of Jake Ballard playing for the Miami Dolphins.
Neither.
Or anybody else for that
but
matter.
But does it help them?
No. That's why I wouldn't be scared.
You don't think so?
Okay. No, he's not that good. And he's even less than that because of, as he said, he's never going to be the same with that knee injury.
Yeah.
He's done nothing to me for me to scare me as a threat. So even for the Patriots. Yeah. I don't think he's done anything that
so
could...
So you discount that. You don't worry. That shouldn't be a factor.
Not really.
The fact that Miami needs a tight end.
No, I discount it more because it's just about Gronk. To me, he's the second most valuable member of the team, so whatever his status is for X game, whenever he can play, he's good enough I want him to play.
Yeah.
Not like making all these little funny moves or...
Now, what if Fells is a little bit more injured than we think, and he can't
play?
Well,
he is back at
he's
practice.
Back. He's back.
We should mention that. He was practicing yesterday.
Well,
he was back in uniform
he was back
yesterday.
At practice, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
As was Dowling, as they looked more active.
McCourty had his shirt off.
What?
Not like Tebow did. He had a blue shirt on.
He had
on.
A blue shirt, not a red one.
I didn't see Dowling and Dennard do much.
I didn't see Dennard do anything. I thought Dowling was a little more active. But, again, this was in
and they let
5 minutes
before
they kicked us out.
Well, we had a good half hour.
But
it's 5 minutes of practice.
Right. We had the pre-stuff. We had the individual drills and part of the
special teams stuff.
Had we only had that during camp, there are many reporters who would have reported about five different times that Dan Conley was back. Because various days, Conley's out there. Oh, yeah. Now, is he going? Is this walkthrough or is this pre-practice? What is this? Because... Am
I the only one that, like, I want him back, but I'm not, you know, going crazy about it because of Will Svitek? I feel pretty good about him playing right guard.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't watched it close enough. He's been out there. He's getting a lot of reps. He's never played it before. He feels pretty comfortable with what he's done. I talked to him yesterday for a story. To me, the bigger issue with Conley is, why wasn't he on PUP? Like, why was
he? Yeah, because he's essentially acting like a guy.
Yeah,
who's
he's
been
done
on
nothing.
PUP.
Like, why you cut off an option there that maybe he could have, if you were comfortable with Svitek and he was what he had done, which is not practice or play, maybe Conley goes on PUP to start the year. But you eliminated that by not, you know, he passed his physical or whatever. And
well, maybe they pretty much had a good handle on what his injury was, and it was just a matter of time.
Maybe. And he may just be out there to start at right guard in week one and whatever. But that just seems a little strange to me how they handled some of those various injuries.
Yeah, it's...
By the way, I have Gronk on PUP on my roster projection.
You do?
Mostly because it's an easy out, so you can save an extra player for me. Not knowing I mean, I don't know how healthy he's going to be. That's a total medical.
Right.
You need to have all the information, and we just don't.
I mean, really, that type of thing, it's a gradual process, and it's one step at a time. And until you get to that next step and pass it, you can't make a projection. You
and
just
some of the
know.
Biggest steps are coming.
Right. Like
the physical steps.
Right.
You know, the hitting.
Right.
You know, putting on pads and actually somebody hitting you.
Yeah.
So
I mean, you know, you look at RG3 down in Washington and, you know, every little thing he does, it's like, oh, look at him. Look, you know, they showed him like running without pads. And somebody goes, oh, I can see that burst is back. And it was like he was like half speed. It's like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. And this is even worse to me, a back. You know, an ACL has become a pretty common injury, common rehab. I think they know how it generally goes, the rehab.
Yeah.
A back, I'm always very much more cautious about. I think it's very different and key. It's your core. I mean, it all starts there.
Speaking of injuries, Denver's have a, you know, they haven't had someone who was accused of murder, but they've had a pretty tough offseason, Denver has. You know, between the coaches.
Terrible.
I'm with Paul. I now believe that they are snake bitten and it's just everything that's going to go wrong. You know, Welker's already banged up. He'll probably deal with something throughout the year off and on.
Well,
Bailey's
like he did
hurt.
Here.
Yeah, knowing him.
Oh, no. I think he's going to miss games. He'll limp.
Right.
He will not be, Mr. 10 catch lineup every week. He joined the other team in their snake bid.
You know, Von Miller is facing at least a 4-game, if not a 6-game suspension. You know, you had the coaches thing. They lost a tight end to Denver. Did they lose a tight end as well?
I don't know if they lost a tight end, but they lost Champ Bailey. Rogers Cromartie's been hurt. Derek Wolfe was potentially seriously injured, but it looks like they dodged a bullet there and he's going to be okay. But he had a potential neck injury.
They lost Copen and signed a guy off of retirement.
Yeah, they're on their third. They're on their third center. By the way, the guy they ended up signing was hurt or something. Like he was unavailable.
Lilja.
Yeah.
Wasn't he retired?
Yeah.
Because because he was hurt.
I mean, probably. But so yeah, they've had a ton of stuff. Injuries have been enormous around the league.
Yeah.
I know I said this last week, just not here. For whatever reason, they have Gronkowski's situation on PUP that they're dealing with, but everything else is very minor, you know, bit players.
And we should also mention that even though he played pretty well, spoke after the game, Danny Amendola was not at practice yesterday. And there's a report.
Albert Breer says he's just resting.
Well, he's nicked up.
Tom Curran says he may not be playing on Thursday night.
Right.
Oh, so that's not a rest.
No. And then Albert went back and said nicked up, and they're monitoring with a long-term 16-game approach or something.
Yeah. Eric's right. Curran had a report, and he said, according to a source, we don't know if the source is right, but not a head injury, but that's the only thing they ruled out. They said it wasn't expected to be long-term, but not a head injury. So
what does that mean? There's a lot of other parts of the body then, you know.
I mean, and it could be major.
Right.
Just because it's not a head doesn't mean it's not
a major issue. No, it was classified as minor.
No, I know.
But not a head injury.
But why did we eliminate just the head?
Because some people think that head injuries are minor. I don't know why. You know, like they're being cautious because
I feel like we're going to get into an argument about
this. No, but if you are, you're going to get it with Tom Curran, not with me.
And I'm guessing the source told him it's not a head injury.
Well, my guess was that he asked because, like I said, that a lot of people consider head injuries minor because I'm with Andy on this. Like that to me is a major injury.
Yeah.
But to me, we're still in that caveman rationale where you say, oh, it's something minor is going to be out. Would he get dinged? He got a concussion. Like that's minor. A couple of days they're being, cautious.
Well, yeah.
To me, that's a major injury.
The head injuries, you kind of get the ability to make decisions taken out of the hands of the coaches with the head injury. There's a formal way to deal with it now, and that's it. There's no if you can play on it, play on it. There's none of that anymore.
And by the way, just because it's said in there, it's not a head injury according to the source.
It doesn't mean it's not
a head injury.
Right. Right. Yeah. So we know nothing. We just don't really know.
We don't know. We're just reading somebody else's report.
Well, it's discouraging, but it's also odd when a player comes up with this injury after the fact. Like after the game, everybody was crowded around his locker. He looked fine. He was speaking fine. There was nothing apparently wrong with this guy.
Well, and then all of a sudden, somewhere else. You know?
Over the weekend?
Leaving the hotel?
No. I'm guessing it's something he knew was sore, and they said, well, we're not going to push it. Whatever.
He's probably dealing with a leg injury or something, a muscle pull.
But normally, who's ever played football, stuff hurts when you leave the game.
Oh, sure.
But there's a difference between, is it still going to hurt in 2 days? Is it something that I need to talk to the trainer about? Does it need monitoring? And, you know, whatever it was that hurt, he realized, oh, maybe this is a little more than a...
Well, yeah, it's odd that a player who gets hurt on this team talks immediately after the game.
Well, Mike in Frederick, Maryland writes in, was it just me or were any of you screaming at the TV to please take Danny A out of the game after his third, fourth, fifth, and sixth catch Friday night? I'm really excited about how good he looks, but with his past injury history and the number of injuries that we're seeing to starters around the league, I don't want him to lose. I don't want to lose him before the season starts. Let Edelman and Boyce take the bulk of the remaining preseason and save Danny for September, please.
Sounds like you might get your wish. I mean, if he sits out Thursday because he's dinged, he's probably not going to play in the fourth because the starters
generally
don't play
in the fourth.
Now you're back to Deion Branch days, which concerns me. We've talked about it all along. Part of the value of Welker was you didn't really worry about this stuff. You didn't. I mean, even though we saw it during the regular season, you just always assume you'd get up and play.
But Welker did sit out. I mean, it's different because Welker had established himself, but Welker did sit out a lot of preseason.
No, I know.
And that's
but,
the key. I still think that, well, I mean, Brady and Amendola could use the work together.
Well, and that's why I wouldn't necessarily go as far
as. Two drives? I got to worry about he can't play two drives?
Yeah, I wouldn't necessarily go as far as the email. I was not thinking in those terms.
And then
Friday
put him in
night.
A bubble. If you can't play him in two drives, put him in a bubble.
But I have no problem now if you want to say, okay, he's dealing with something minor. We don't want him to tweak it. And right. I think they have established something. I'm comfortable with that.
I know,
let's wait till the regular
if
season.
If he doesn't play this game, he's not going to play in the fourth game, so he won't have played football until September 7th.
Right. I have
he's
no
fine.
Problem with that.
He's fine.
September 8th. But
September 8th.
I have no problem with that.
Yeah, I'm not worried.
I'd rather they
now, if it
be
were,
safe than
if
sorry.
If it were the other
them.
Guys, I might feel differently, the Dobsons and the Tompkins of the world, because I don't think they've established that level of comfort with Brady yet.
But it gets back to, and not just this, I mean, we've all had various points where we saw him make a catch in practice or and he was like a little slow to get up, and you think, uh-oh, is this the one where he doesn't get up or where this lingers or whatever, and this is another kind of down that path.
I have wondered that, and also in the back of my mind, I'm thinking: am I thinking it only because it's Danny?
Yes,
and not
just like you wouldn't think it because it was Welker.
Right,
the exact opposite.
So I am sort of looking at it every little thing. I'm like, did he just?
But
he
that's
get,
how
does
it
he
is.
He look like he's shaking.
You'd
up
think
there?
It with Razai Dowling. You wouldn't think it with Aqib Talib or whoever.
Like, but he continues to be terrific in everything that he's done. He's caught the ball. He's been open, wide open. And by the way, and I know that I'm not the only one that has said this over the last couple of days, if teams want to continue to try to cover him with linebackers as they did on four different occasions the other night, that ain't going to work.
But they won't.
Wide receivers can beat linebackers. Even Michael Jenkins can beat linebackers.
Right.
How's that?
Are
that
you
good
guys
shot
on,
of the guy who's no longer
are you
here?
Guys on the Zach Sudfeld bandwagon?
Sudfeld, too.
Sure.
Yeah I like.
We
I
have
like,
been for a while, though.
I like Sudfeld.
He's taking the next, like, we were all fell in love with him in camp when he caught everything. I mean, you know, I think we fall under the Bill Belichick. When a guy shows ridiculous hands, we really like it. From the like, that's a great starting point for any pass catcher.
At least he can catch.
Show me your hands first, because we've had so many that come through here that don't. You know, we went through the Grahams and the Watsons and the different guys who it was kind of iffy whether they could catch the ball. This is a guy naturally could catch it, and he's been taking kind of improving steps. He's blocking a little bit. He's catching with bodies around him or in traffic. And
I mean, I got to say that one catch he had along the right sideline and dragged a guy for a little bit, it did look a lot like Gronk out there.
Now, hopefully when he does it in the regular season, he won't fumble. Because if you remember,
the three catches that he made the other night, that's the one he remembers.
Right. Well, I was just
he made a catch with two guys hanging on his shoulders
know,
for a two-point conversion.
That was
and then
Gronk
had a double catch in the
because
end zone.
Because Gronk
that was
did
insane.
The exact same thing in his rookie preseason.
Right.
And then against the Browns, he fumbled, and it was, you got to know when to get down.
Right.
So I don't, if Sudfeld does the same thing, he'll get the same
But answer. I'm not worried about his size. I can look at that, and I can see he's big and strong.
No, but it's not about
I don't
size.
Think he's
I'm talking
as...
about the two catches that he made in
no,
the end zone.
But
I know, they were
those were ridiculous.
It's not a size thing. It's an ability to stay up, ability to keep your feet and try to
have any concerns
plays.
About a guy that size being able to stay up. Let's put it that way. I
think
was,
Ballard is the same size and can't stay up. I think he's a big
oh, I think Ballard
load
would,
of bricks.
I think Ballard would drag a guy. Whether or not he could
down.
Get open and catch the ball is another
I don't
argument.
Think he has the footwork, the balance to pull and stay. I think he would go down like a ton of bricks.
I don't
think everybody can do that. I think there's athleticism involved with that. Power combined with balance.
I kind of agree with Andy on this one.
I think the whole thing is apples to oranges.
He
because
is,
I don't
Ballard
think Ballard
is a
would
big
be capable
body,
of getting in space.
But to do the to be that elusive and to be able to
yeah that's what I think that Bell doesn't have
ball,
that ability
and to try to drag a player at the same time that's
well you get a guy like who was it Fourier or one of the other tight ends
he would trip on the line
yeah
Fourier
he'd make the catch but he'd go down immediately
yep.
Just you know a breeze
no question Fourier
yeah.
Was tackled by a number of yard markers at Gillette Stadium.
We should bring this up in the commentary on Thursday night.
You know, Sudfeld just showed the ability to keep his feet. Christian, something you never did as a professional.
That seemed to elude you.
All right, webradio at patriots.com, 855-PATS-500, and domestically, 508. Actually, it's not domestic.
What are you?
508-298.
In North America.
North American toll-free line.
Yeah, we really only need to give out the 855-PATS-500 number, right?
No, because we want the local people to use the 508, because don't we pay for the 855?
We do.
So,
per
no.
Call. Yeah.
Thank you.
508-298-0398 is the ACE ticket hotline.
Yeah, I agree, Fred. Just 855-PATS-500.
And where are the other ones?
We're not paying for it.
They're listed on Patriots.com, but there's about 12 countries now we have.
Now, where on Patriots.com? How do they get to that?
If they go into
right
the media
game.
Center, There's a thing for Patriots.com radio, and on that page, they're listed.
Chris Ferreira, can you tweet that out if you get a chance, and then I'll retweet it?
Yeah, it's a good idea.
A link to the exact page where we can get it.
Steve is in Killeen, Texas.
Killeen?
Yes.
His name isn't Steve Killeen.
He calls the playbook often.
The rest of Texas is dirty.
Hey, Steve, how you doing?
What's up, Hollywood Media?
Hey! Hollywood Media, wow.
Congratulations, guys, on the recliners and moving up and bringing the junior announcer Rook with you still. Get that out of the way, right out of the gate. We've already alluded to it a bit, talking about, you know, Amendola. And my concern this year, and I'm happy to see where we are preseason-wise, and, you know, the line is there's still a lot of work to do, because there is. But Sudfeld looks good. My concern is just durability. I mean, is Troy Brown, can we still reactivate him by any chance?
He looks pretty thick. He was at practice, and he looked pretty thick. He looked like he could fit in. I'm not fat, just thick. I think he could take a hit. Yeah, we don't have a lot of depth. In doing my roster rundown, pretty easy to make the wide receiver. It's six guys that I kept, you know, including Slater and Edelman. And
right.
I didn't feel like I even thought twice about keeping Jonathan Haggerty or Quentin Sin. Like, there's nobody you say.
How many rookies did you keep?
Three.
Right. Yeah, all three.
Tompkins, Boyce, and Dobson.
I just felt like it was an easy six to pair out. And there's a lot of positions where I don't feel like there's depth on this team. Defensive line, depth is a question. Linebacker, depth is a question. Cornerback, depth is a question.
Maybe offensive line.
Yeah.
Offensive line, depth is a little bit of a question because part of your depth is hurt. If Connolly and Cannon are still hurt, well, they probably have to be on the roster, but they're really not offering you anything, so now you have issues there. You need to keep another guy, Zusevic or whatever, to back up Svita. You know, these minor injuries, now we don't know how minor they are issues with depth.
Yeah, and they affect the roster.
Dowling and Dennard, where are they in terms of, I mean, are they going to be on the roster ready to go opening day? Are they still going to be nicked?
Right.
If they're nicked, are you now keeping an extra corner, an extra safety? How do you keep all these extras?
Yeah, it makes you wonder if this were the regular season week, whether or not any of these guys who are being held out would
suit
up.
Or are you going to have all your inactives be injured guys? You know, you don't have any healthy inactives. Are they all guys that are hurt? You know, Cunningham is another guy.
Right.
If he's on the team, he'll have missed a significant portion of training camp with an injury.
Yep.
Yeah, but to the Pats' credit, though, guys, the one thing that they have done consistently is they draft football players, not necessarily specialists, which is why I brought Troy
Sometimes
Brown
they draft
out.
Rugby players.
Rugby guy.
Yeah.
And, well, they do look for versatility among certain players. Yep.
To a fault, some people believe.
Yeah, I mean, I would be one that when I am not given in the extra very and very good drafting, that would be my argument.
Because they drafted a four down player.
Get guys that can play football and not guys that can do everything.
Right.
Yep. I mean, it works both ways, but, you know, fortunately, you know, we continue to rebuild and surprise people. People are saying, you know, 10-6 this year. I think we'll actually surprise some people and end up
see
a little
what
bit
you've
better.
Done.
Yeah, no, I agree.
That's Andy's negativity, Steve. Fred and I are thinking minimum 12. Matter of fact, Fred the other night said undefeated, including the preseason.
Well, you know, I
get that way sometimes.
I'm not ready to jump on Fred's bandwagon just yet, but you know, just the parity in the league this year with injuries and, you know, I'm with you. This year has been kind of an anomaly with that where it just seems key players across the league are going to kind of determine where we are come September and then later into the year. I know we're going to get dinged up. That happens. That's part of the way the season goes. But, yeah, that's why I brought up the whole durability thing. Somehow, you know, by and large, we seem to be able to do it and,
yep.
You know, if Troy is available, I'd have him back there as, you know, a backup cornerback. I'm just saying, that's me.
Yep. All right, Steve, thanks
all
for the
folks,
call.
Thanks.
But the difference is, do you get dinged up or do you lose a key player? Even if it's for only three games, you know, there's a difference. If you lose, you know, Dante Hightower, maybe you get by with that. But do you lose Wilfork, Mayo, Brady, Gronk? I mean, there's four or five guys that would be core key injuries.
I do have to admit that every year when the Patriots lose that first preseason game, you know, assuming they don't go 4-0, I kind of get a little disappointed because it ruins my perfect season.
You know, well, you want to go. You know what else ruins your perfect season when you lose the.
So you want to go 23-0?
Exactly.
Not, okay.
I don't think anyone cares if you lose in the preseason.
Chris with a TIAN. Hey, Christian.
Hey guys, I got a beef.
Yeah.
you touched upon it about a week ago. This is a waste of time with Tebow. Okay? 1 out of 7. Balls behind guys. Balls over guys' heads. Balls on the ground. It's a joke. It's actually embarrassing to watch that I got a guy on this team that I root for with a coach this smart and an offensive coordinator supposedly this sharp that's wasting their time on a guy who hasn't progressed, has done nothing but regressed since he's been in the league.
I don't know. Bill Belichick in his press conference said that he has progressed.
Stop the zit, as they say in Italian.
I like it.
Shut
please,
up.
Please, please. I hate it when he talks to us like that. Why does he have to talk to us like we're 10? Like we don't know. We can't see. Why? I love him because he's one of ours. I love him. He's our guy. I love him. But why does he talk to us like that? He's powerful. He hasn't done anything. What progress? What? Can he read a play or something in the room? What? He's not doing anything on the field.
But can I be the devil's advocate and say, even though I don't think he's gotten much better in the NFL, he's only been a Patriot for 2.5 months or whatever it is. So McDaniels and Belichick and Dable have only had a short period of time to work with him.
And is it possible that there is things in practice he's done that maybe we haven't noticed that would lend them to think that
he has progressed? There's only one practice we haven't seen all of.
Yeah, but when he's doing his little other stuff on the other field, you're kind of watching the main...
No, he gets a lot of viewing. He's Tim Tebow. People watch him. People laugh at him.
Yeah, I'm not saying that we've seen every single snap that he's taken.
No, but we've seen...
Pretty close.
Yeah.
He's been bad. I just think if they are taking more of a long-term approach, then they're seeing really minute, gradual growth over this short span and saying in a year.
I was trying to figure out what the hell is he doing in that Friday game, and I was thinking, you know, because he wasn't running the pistol or anything like that.
Nope.
I was thinking, well, okay, so this is the game where they said, okay, Tim, you got to try to do it our way. And, you know.
The first throw was like it reached halfway to the guy in the right flat.
The inaccuracy and all of that stuff. You know, that's terrible. Like, the one Andy's talking about was among the worst throws I've ever seen at any level. But I don't understand how we can't roll out and see guys. There's two guys rolling to the sideline, and we honestly looked at it live, looked at a replay, and Andy and I still weren't sure who he was throwing it to.
Well,
and matter of fact, there was a third guy that might have been open that he may have supposed to have been throwing it to. Like, I don't understand how bad he is reading what's happening in front of him.
Well, you know, for a man of faith, he has so little faith in that the play's going to unfold the way it's going to and just throw the ball.
Did you hear what he said after the game about the interception? He didn't see it. I'd probably like to have that one back. I didn't see it. He didn't even see who he was throwing the ball to.
That's not good.
I don't get it. I really don't. I mean, and if it really is that Josh is the only one left that has faith of him, and that he's on the roster because of that, because he believes that he can, like, save him, well, now I'm really aggravated because now you're really wasting the team.
Christian, let me ease your fears a little bit.
Yeah.
We haven't seen what they're going to do with Tim Tebow.
And the man of faith is telling us to have faith.
That's been by design. Every practice except for yesterday, every practice thus far with Tebow has been open to the either public or media practice. This is the time now when we can't see what they're doing with him that they're going to really employ him the way they want to.
Well, if there is a time, this is it.
They're going to do whatever it is, whether it's tight end, H-back, fullback, slot guy, whatever it is.
Are any of those things that you want to do?
If you're going to keep him on the team, he needs to do other things. He can't play quarterback.
I know, but
we
do
know
really,
that.
Do you think it's?
Do you think he's better at any of those other things?
I don't know.
The guys
do you
they
think
have.
I don't know.
It's in the team's interest to invest the time to do that at this point.
I would like to have seen him do those other things, but I don't know. I just don't know, Fred.
Yeah, I don't either.
The only thing, and I've said this, I don't know why anybody hasn't just said you're a power running tailback. We're going to give you handoffs. We're giving you these three preseason games. And let's see what you can do, because that's the only thing I think he could do at
NFL
level.
By the way, a quarterback who is doing that right now, Denard Robinson, it looks really good at Jacksonville doing just that.
Yeah, but he wasn't really a quarterback.
No,
that's
the
difference.
I know, but he's doing well.
But why do you think Tebow hasn't? No one's done that
because he's not fast enough.
That's one of the things. That's one of the reasons I think.
Yeah,
I think exactly what you said, Andy. A power running.
I think he and Blunt prior.
You can make him Heath Evans. I think he's a tweener. I don't think he's fast enough to be a tailback.
Well, see, I think he's the same speed as Blunt.
What's that?
He's more of a plotter.
I think so.
But I think Blunt is, too.
You guys always say that.
No, Blunt's much faster.
Yeah, I'd like to see him
race. I don't think Blunt is all that much faster, but I think he's a lot bigger and stronger.
He's definitely bigger. But reportedly the Patriots asked Tebow to drop some weight Well, why didn't you just ask him to be a tailback? To me, that's the only thing he's ever proven he can do, be a power runner. So just ask him to be a power runner and see if it works.
And maybe they will.
Maybe he's poo-pooed it.
And
I don't think they would have brought him here if he poo-pooed it.
One thing on Sudfeld, I was listening to a national guy yesterday while I was outside working.
Who? Drop names.
Colin Cowherd.
Okay.
Oh, I can imagine what this is. Better than Gronkowski, right?
No. He compared him to the guy in baseball in the Dodgers, Yourself Puig.
Yeah.
And he goes, you know, I talked about this guy before he became big in regards to Yasiel. And then he goes, and now there's a guy in New England, and I'm telling you right now. And I was like, wow, like unbelievable. And
I love
it. He played great, and I hope he does great. I hope he's right. But yeah. It's like, wow, it's kind of early to compare him to, you know.
I hope he's right, too, because he seems like a nice guy, and he's fun to be around.
I did it getting to know with the guy, and I love him.
What do they call him, Sunshine?
Sunshine from the movie, the Remember the Titans, because he has long blonde hair.
Yeah,
he was just a terrific personality. I wholeheartedly in the camp, but I mean, I just think it's unfair to the kid.
Yeah.
It's a guy who had how many surgeries? Six?
I believe.
Six surgeries in college over 6 years, missed three entire seasons, two because of injury. One, I think, was just a regular redshirt year. I just think it's not fair to him.
Right.
To, like, this, he's a red zone target like Gronkowski.
But what if Brady gets hurt and they go to the pistol full time? That's what he was in Nevada. Maybe him and Tebow could put a little something together.
Could be. Who knows?
All
the
right.
Tebow stuff.
All
you know,
right,
he's better in games. I just started chuckling because I keep thinking of that. I'm like, what games is he better in? Like Madden 13? Like, what is he better in than practice? He's not a practice player.
Mike in Denmark says,
when is he better?
Getting me through the offseason and preseason. A lot of media outlets are raving about Zach Sudfeld.
Sudfeld!
And how he can replace Hernandez. I've been impressed in the two practice games, but he went undrafted, and there was usually a reason that would be.
Now
didn't he have a lot of injuries? Well, yeah, Paul just mentioned he did have a lot of injuries. Took him 6 years, right?
6 years he was at Nevada, yeah.
Should we just pump the brakes before we have the offense's success determined by an undrafted, injury-prone tight end?
How about we pump the brakes, jam on him, and then pull the e-brake, too?
And then see if he's going to make the team.
He made my team.
He's going to make my team, too, but because of injuries more than anything else.
But I certainly don't think he's as athletic or quick or anything as Hernandez to be.
God, no.
I mean, he can be a move tight end. He can line up wide and do some things, but not nearly the same type of player.
Yeah, I just worry, you know, when the games are real, if he'll be able to get separation, that type of thing, you know.
He has to prove anything.
That's a huge concern because he hasn't really done that.
Right.
He hasn't created separation. That's a concern I have for Aaron Dobson.
Yeah.
And that's a second-round pick. So it's not about, you know, like the Bill thing. It's not about where you were, you know, where you came from or how you got here. It's what you do here. Well, here, I haven't seen those guys really wide open.
I'm more worried about it with Dobson.
I was going to say, at least with Sudfeld, I've seen his ability to have guys hanging on him, and it's okay. Now,
plus, he's a tight end,
so
he's
undrafted.
Gonna...
I mean, this is a second-round pick.
Yeah, no, that's a good point,
too. If
you're
going into week one or two
against... Because it does matter where you came from.
We've come full circle.
No, but Eric makes a good point. That's, I mean, you expect more out of Dobson.
So if you're going into week one or two against the New England Patriots, there's no Gronkowski out there. No one's really proven themselves yet in a real game except Amendola. If you're a defensive coordinator, do you just double team Amendola on every play and dare Brady to use these young guys until they prove themselves? I mean, is that your plan?
Yeah, I mean, to some degree, Amendola is where you start.
Right.
When you're, and I would be overly physical with him personally.
Right.
I would bang him at the line and have help behind
you know,
some sort of bracket there and just beat the snot out of him and say, you're going to earn it. You're going to prove you're tough in this. Until other guys can prove we need to focus on them, I'm going to beat the snot out of you.
So in the passing game, it seems to me that these guys are going to have to contribute right away.
Oh, yeah. The question is who and how.
Yeah.
You know, which of the three or four rookies that are out there can you count? And I'd throw Vereen in that. Maybe Vereen becomes a more of a key fact. These split back looks and things they're going to do that way.
So if the Patriots, you know, don't be surprised if Amendola's numbers aren't huge in week one, week two, until these other guys can prove themselves.
Until Gronk comes back?
Or, you know, maybe
or anybody.
Until then.
Or even, you know, even if Boyce runs down the field a couple times and gets behind people. Or Dobson proves, okay, he can run some comebacks and get some separation.
I think any defensive coordinator would be nuts not to say, we're not going to let you use Amendola.
Right.
You know?
I could see the two sides of it, though. That's clearly the way defense is probably going to attack. But then I look at from Brady and saying, like, he's the only one I know I can get a catch from.
Andy.
You know,
Denver Broncos have signed Paris Leonard.
And Paris Leonard.
They're all set now.
he stops the run. Mark wants to know why Mayo dressed but did not play on Friday. Mayo played on Friday.
Yeah, very quickly.
Sparingly.
Yeah, like, he was the first guy out.
He did come out before the rest of the starters.
And he was fine, though. We watched him because I was concerned because he went out so early, maybe he got nicked up, but he seemed all smiles, chatting his normal
self. And I'm going to use the Eric theory as to how you can deem whether or not they're healthy. I talked to him yesterday. He seemed fine.
And Stripper says, I hate Felger, so I didn't care for Bertrand until he worked with Andy and Paul the past 2 weeks. Now I like Mark.
We have that effect on people.
A lot of people like Bertrand.
I like him.
Very professional.
Did you see that other show he has?
The show?
Yeah, what is it?
Not good.
I don't get it.
I think they talk about all different sports.
It seems to be social media driven.
Monday night.
Except for the PPGS, nothing that's social media driven seems to work.
I haven't really seen it.
Has anyone seen the new Fox One football show or anything?
I saw snippets of it. Yeah. Oh, we got to talk. Did you see the Antonio Smith?
No.
Richie Incognito?
I heard... Did he swing the helmet or
yes.
Incognito?
He could have murdered him on the field.
Yeah, but I'm not surprised Richie Incognito is involved.
At that, just because the girl wears a short skirt, .. No.
Right.
No.
What happened here?
Richie Incognito and Antonio Smith were going head-to-head, and Incognito was definitely under, you know, you see it all the time, under a chin, and the defensive guy gets mad, he's under his, and Smith gets his hand, and at the end of the play, kind of pulls his helmet off down,
yeah.
And then as it comes off down, he just swings back with the helmet in his hand. I mean,
he
literally, yeah, it looked like he nicked him maybe in the chest. Didn't really hit him, but he could have killed him. I mean, a helmet is a big, heavy, and if he hits him in the temple, we could have seen a murder on the field. I think he needs to get a significant, I think like a half a season or something.
Even like if you hit under the nose?
Yeah, anywhere in there. I mean,
those things are...
Would have done the NFL a favor.
Well, what? I say that about Incognito. He's a jerk.
That's the way he plays. He's trying to do that to other people.
Still,
that's
can't
fine.
You
can't
still
do it.
I'm
not
excuse, can't take the
doesn't make it right.
I'm not absolving Antonio Smith.
Yeah, I believe
that's who it was.
Antonio.
Yeah, I'm with Andy on Smith. Incognito should go too. Yeah. Enough of these. That's what was he trying to do to Antonio Smith? What if he like, you know, cracked a vertebrae when he was pushing his head back? That's what he's trying to do.
But one happens.
That's the way he plays the game.
Almost every snap in the NFL.
Yeah, with
and
him.
One doesn't.
With him on every snap in the NFL.
And that may
he's
be.
He's trying to hurt
that
people.
May be, but
and he should go too.
Two majorly
I'm with you.
Different.
Suspend Antonio Smith for as long as you want. I'm with you.
To me, it
you
was.
You can't swing a helmet at
what did Garrod
at a guy?
Get when he stomped on?
No, the other way
no,
around.
The other way around.
It was Hainsworth.
Oh, yeah.
Our guy.
I forgot. I he came here. I forgot.
Right.
He what got half he a season.
I think
right?
he got
that was Danny Ainge like.
I thought he got like four games.
I think he got more than that.
Yeah, to me this is a half a season that he should get.
Yeah, I'm all for.
Could have seen
a
murder.
I'm 100% with you on that. You can't swing a helmet at a guy. I'm 100% with Andy on that. But Incognito, when you do that, that's what happens. Guys want to kill you because that's what you're doing. That's how he plays every snap of every game. He's trying to hurt the guy across from him. There's a fine line between trying to be physical and trying to hurt people. Incognito crosses it every week. So I'm kind of surprised it took this long for something like that to happen to him.
Jeff in Pennsylvania says, hello, crew. And he spells crew, C-R-U-E, with the little two dots over
so we're like Motley Crue?
Yeah.
That's how they spell it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I love your podcast. Great job. It makes me look forward to the drive home twice a week. Thank you. I have a question and comment. Please, Lord Jesus in heaven, do not do complex math on the program again. I am begging you. I'd rather have my wife help me balance my checkbook than listen to that again. Google it. Tweet a question. Quora it. Whatever.
What is that?
Just don't multiply on air again. I am referring to the 800 number.
We know what you're referring to.
Don't blame me. I always stay out of the math problems.
What's a Quora?
Quora, I think it's a website that you can go and type things in and get answers.
Biggest upset of that email was Eric didn't indicate
Google
what the two dots over the U actually
umlaut
were.
Yeah. What?
The umlaut?
Yeah. Umlaut.
Yeah. Biggest upset of that email was that you didn't. Oh, the umlaut. Yeah.
Question.
Tilde over the end.
It feels like Belichick is trying to take the team back to 04 and deliver a healthy dose of the run and a shutdown defense and let Brady figure the rest out. I think that's great.
Sounds good.
But one thing no one seems to discuss is leadership on defense. I believe we have talented players in defense, perhaps as talented as in 2004. But in 04, we had great leaders on defense, great minds. Do you think that the Patriots can make a leadership jump on defense in 2013? I've seen Tlaib making an effort to be a real leader, and that's encouraging. We need people the young guys can lean on. What do you think?
Are we equating, I mean...
First, do you agree with his premise that they have as talented a defense as 2004, but maybe lacking the leadership?
No. I might actually go the other way. I think Mayo and Wilfork and McCourty are very good leaders.
They don't have the talent.
I'd like to see some playmaking.
Yeah.
I don't believe that, you know, Tommy Kelly's as talented as Richard Seymour,
right,
for an example. I don't believe that, you know, Dante Hightower and Gerard Mayo are as good as Mike Vrabel and Willie McGinest and Teddy Bruschi.
Yeah.
And I certainly don't believe that
Ty Law,
that
the secondary
Tlaib and Arrington are as good as Ty Law, who played the first six games anyway before he got hurt. People forget that. They're like, oh, they won the Super Bowl without him. Well, maybe they wouldn't have been 6-0 if he was hurt the whole year, you know, when he got hurt in Pittsburgh. I don't think that in Rodney Harrison and those guys. But don't forget, these guys pretty much at that time were in their prime.
Right.
You know, it's not like 2007, those guys, you know, the Brewskis and whatnot, those guys were getting old. But at that time, Richard Seymour was an animal.
Right.
And Vince Wilfork was just a rookie coming into all that. That was an extremely talented
defense.
You know,
we talked about this the other day, about the 3-4 versus the 4-3. Maybe we are underestimating how much of a factor Seymour was in making that 3-4 work and as effective as it was, you know? Because they had moving parts at you know, the nose position. They brought in Ted Washington, you know, for a couple, you know, 1 year or 2 years.
He was here for 1 year. Keith Traylor was
here.
He
wasn't always there, but Seymour was the solid guy. And, of course, they had Ty Warren.
Ty Warren, too. Yeah. I mean, the linebackers was, like Andy talked about, like all the different things mentally. Like a guy like Roman Pfeiffer. They don't have a guy as good as Roman Pfeiffer. And he was, like, what, 5 on that linebacker list?
Yeah.
Back when they had 3-for-2 inside, 3-for-2 outside, and had – but all three were, like, starters.
Stars. Yeah, versatile, talented, cerebral players.
You know, Jamie Collins is now your extra guy as opposed to Roman Pfeiffer or Roosevelt Colvin or these experienced guys.
Posey Colvin, I forgot all about
You know what I mean?
Him.
But that's the difference. Jamie Collins compared to Roosevelt Colvin or Jamie, you know, whoever's coming up. That's a big difference there. Now, we may think differently.
And
if Jamie Collins can play and if Chandler Jones makes the leap and if these are just all ifs, those guys were vets. They were it.
That's what I meant by, like, they were all in their prime at that time. And I was critical of McGinest and Bruschi and some of those guys. I used to, you know, but to say that the guys that they have now that haven't proven that we're looking to make the jump are as good as talented as those guys, I don't think that's accurate.
Not yet. And they were, like you said, they were smart. They were cerebral players. You know, in big moments, they stepped up and were able to make the play.
And Ty explained all that to us, Teddy Bruschi's thing. But they just ignored the defensive calls and did whatever they wanted.
Colin Waterloo, I think Zach Zutfeld is a lock to make the roster based on his performance against the Bucks, but I wanted to know...
Zutfeld's really bothering you.
Yes.
I wanted to know, okay, Zach Zutfeld. Would you rather have it that way?
No, I'd rather have it...
Say it the way it
Zach
is. This
Zutfeld.
Isn't an Eric thing. This isn't open an interpretation.
Look,
his name is Zach. His last name is Sudfeld.
Oh, I think it's like hockey. You make up the names for the guys.
But you're not using it as a nickname.
Names in hockey?
You add a Y to everything in hockey.
But those are nicknames.
What do you mean? Oh, yeah, nicknames.
Oatsy. But those are nicknames. Those aren't their names. If you wanted to call him Suddy, okay, fine. Zachy. Zach Attack.
Why can't I just call him Zach?
You can.
Well, you can. You've been calling him Zach Zudfeld.
If he were on defense, that might be a good nickname.
Yes, I'd be fine.
It's another one of those. The extent to which you're upset about this is astounding.
Because it deals with it's McCourty. It goes down this whole road, and it's just annoying.
But I wanted to know if you saw his face after the touchdown catch.
Yes.
He was hit from behind, and then his head hit the ground, and you could see one of his eyes was mostly closed, and his mouth was contorted, almost like he was concussed. It's amazing he held on to the ball. Do you think the Bucks got away with a helmet-to-helmet hit? Do you think Sudfeld was concussed, or is this just a Sudfeld-Sudface?
I thought he broke his shoulder.
He looked like he got hurt somehow, whether that was a...
I assume that was the end of the
great
deal.
I thought he landed on
his
shoulder,
I thought he had the wind knocked
and
out.
I think that probably is what happened.
Yeah.
After the game, he was asked about specifically that. You know, it looked like your face, you looked like you were in pain after the play, and his reaction indicated that he was dealing with something.
Oh,
but then he tried to play it off.
But then he tried to play it off.
Trying
like
to
I was
milk
just,
the moment or
something,
or stay down, you know, enjoy the moment.
But it was so funny because the players around him were like, "Come on, Zach, get up. You're okay."
And also, if you watch the training staff was running down the sideline. They were at sort of the far end,
yeah.
And they ran in preparation of, do we need to come out on the field? And then they backed off.
So instead, Amendola's hurt.
Right.
He can go from positive to negative so damn quickly.
I think maybe Amendola's one of those guys that he gets so close to his teammates that when they get hurt, he feels the pain. So he's absorbing all the pain of all his teammates. That could be.
I think maybe he fell on his head or something.
Fred or Amendola?
Fred.
Oh, okay.
All right. Let's take a quick break. We've been going at it for almost an hour. We'll listen to these sponsor messages, and we'll be right back. Come
on, man. All right, man. Grab a Budweiser and take a knee. It is the best time of the year. It's baseball season. That means sunshine. It means behind-the-back peanut tosses. And it means sharing some cold, frosty Budweisers with your boys. Because there's nothing more American than watching America's game with America's beer. So let me ask you something. Are you ready to bring your A-game? Are you ready to cheer every frozen rope down the line and amazing catch at the warning track? Are you ready for pitcher's duels and slugfests? Tell me, are you ready for the thrill of an incredible walk-off victory? I can't hear you. Are you ready for Budweiser and baseball? Then get on your feet, raise an ice-cold Bud, and let's make this season larger than life. Great times await. Get some Bud!
Enjoy responsibly. Budweiser Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket, the official ticket partner of the Boston Red Sox, which means you always get the best seats at the best prices, all with Ace Ticket's 200% guarantee. Ace Ticket has your seats to all the games, including Yankees tickets starting at $59. Ace Ticket has your seats to all of this summer's hottest concerts. It's so easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Visit aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
With power comes responsibility, and NRG has taken that responsibility to new heights by evolving the way sustainable energy is discussed and used in the 21st century. With 3,000 state-of-the-art solar panels installed at Patriot Place, we've transformed the open-air retail complex next to Gillette Stadium into a visually stunning, self-sustaining destination that generates 60% of its own power. NRG is proud to be the official energy provider for Patriot Place, Gillette Stadium, and the New England Revolution.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store. Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected. The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised. PFW in Progress presents Car Shopping with Fred Kirsch.
You know, when I first got married, my wife's car, she had a Subaru Outback, okay? The woman across the street comes over and says, oh, you have a Subaru Outback. That's a lesbian car. And I'm up pruning the tree. I'm like, who asked you?
Never question the boss when it comes to cars.
Did you say that? Yeah, I said that to her. Who asked you? But my point is, who cares? If lesbians have adopted the Subaru Outback, but I like a Subaru Outback, I don't care.
Because there's
only people like you that have hang-ups.
No.
Did you listen? I have a hang-up.
Nobody will ever tell Fred Kirsch or his wife what to drive. Now back to PFW in Progress.
Speaking of cars, the kid's going off to school on Friday, and he decided he doesn't want to take his car with him, which is fine with me. I'll sell it. So the move by me is now to take him off the insurance, right, to save that money until such time he comes back. Is that the move?
What if he wants to use it at Christmas or Thanksgiving when he comes home?
I'm going to sell it.
Yeah, there's no it. What if he wants to use yours?
Well, can you use your car? Yeah, can I put him back on, like,
probably
in December?
Yeah, probably. You should call your insurance.
Call your agent, yeah.
Yeah.
Why don't you just let him take
the Lexus? Usually there's a listener out there that has experience
I'm sure there's somebody in the auto insurance industry.
So how do I take advantage of my kid going to school and without his car?
You going to sell the car? What are you going to get for it?
I'll be lucky if I get $2,000 for it, I think.
Wow. What are you going to buy, an alpaca?
2004 Saab 9.5 turbo, but it has about 190,000 miles on it.
190?
Yeah.
That's had a good run.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's in great shape.
Yeah, it's not uncommon to get over 200,000 on those.
I bought it for 4,000 from the Christian place in North Providence.
Yes, I know.
Christian place?
There's a place right around the street.
Then I don't think you're getting $2,000 for it then.
You don't think so?
You bought it in 2004?
No,
it is
a
2004.
I bought it last July for 2,000.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, maybe.
Then you should probably get more than two, right?
Maybe, but I'd be happy with two. That's fine.
Probably shouldn't have.
Probably shouldn't.
Have.
Yeah, I know. I was going to.
Now the
3,500 or 3,500, right? Yeah. Or whatever.
The kid has these grand plans for Christmas break to go to Canada and play box lacrosse. He's got a place to stay and
what
all
is
this.
Box lacrosse?
It's indoor lacrosse.
Oh. So it's not what you think, Andy.
So he goes, we can sell the car.
I'm a long pole. You want to play some box lacrosse?
We can sell
you're
the
a short
car,
pole.
And I can use that true. Money. I can use that money for that, which is fine, but you know. Now I'm the one that has to go ahead. And
he's telling
take
you how he's
going to
use your money.
I bought it,
and I'm selling it, but he's getting the money.
Right. But
he's got a good gig. Going,
I used to
that
do
Connor.
That with my books in college.
Yeah,
my parents would buy my books,
and then you keep,
and I would sell. You know, when you sell them back after the semester, and I would take the money.
Right,
well, it was a perfect crime.
Mike from Not Stinky, Florida, says Andy's a DB. He says, since I need an objective opinion, Fred, your opinion is not necessary. Andy, Paul, and Eric, please answer the following question.
That's a good email.
Does having Tim Tebow and 50 Rutgers players currently on this team correspond to Bill's favorite saying that everything he does is in the best interest of the team? This fan thinks the above can only hurt his credibility. They are wasting everyone's time with Tebow as quarterback in Rutgers? Give me a break. Even if they were all Alabama or LSU players, it's weird.
It wouldn't be as weird if they were all Alabama or LSU
wouldn't be
players.
As weird, no. But it still would be odd because it would be hard to imagine that, you know, you go 10, 11, 12 deep in one school. It's not better than
the best.
Right.
At somebody else's.
I don't know.
How many do you of those? They have nine Rutgers players right
well,
now.
I think they lost one, right? One of the
yeah,
guys.
Yeah, they lost
cut.
Vallone.
One of the guys they cut was a Rutgers.
So they have
guy.
Eight. How many end up on the 53-man roster?
McCourty. McCourty, Ryan.
Harmon.
Harmon, Beauharnais.
Francis. No, Beauharnais.
Francis.
Maybe.
On the bubble.
Francis.
He was one of my
practice
latter squads.
Those are four locks.
Practice squad.
Yeah, those are four locks. So you have four.
Francis. Maybe five, but with Beauharnais. But yeah, I think those other four are locks.
It doesn't bother me, really, like it bothers everybody else.
If they can play, fine. Yeah.
No, but he didn't draft, you know, he didn't draft Daron Harmon because he went to Rutgers. He didn't draft Logan Ryan, in my opinion, because he went to Rutgers. He may have signed Vallone and some of these guys, Francis, because they went to Rutgers, and he has a respect for the program and the way these guys are going to come in and compete and... It doesn't, I don't know, it just doesn't bother me like it seems to bother other people.
It doesn't bother me as much as it bothers other people, but there are times that I wonder with the draft picks.
So you
if
think
they're higher. Like Harmon, like Ryan, by all accounts, was right around where everybody had him. And I'm not putting all my stock into what the projections say, but Harmon seemed to be high.
Right, but but it came a year after they drafted Tavon Wilson high, and he didn't come from Rutgers. It came from Illinois.
Are you, so you think if guys like Harmon and Beauharnais and those guys were playing for, pick a school, Boise State or whoever, he still would have drafted them?
I'm making a differentiation maybe between like a seventh-round pick and an undrafted guy and a third-round pick. I think there are two
and
different
I agree with
there.
Your differentiation.
And I have no problem with – I know guys from Rutgers who are – come in with minimal chance to make my team. I know they can compete. I know they're going to be mentally ready to go. I know they're going to do as they're damn well told. To me, there's a value in that on your bottom 10, your bottom 15, whatever that number is.
Yeah.
And I have no problem with that.
The core principles of what you want to do, he's pretty sure he's going to get from Rutgers players. I get that. I get that.
Now,
I agree
if you believe he drafted Daron
Harmon
two rounds early because he went to Rutgers, I have a major problem with that.
And I
do,
I think
too.
There's something of it.
Yes, I
now,
do, too.
I don't.
Now, here's where, again...
He's been drafting guys two rounds too high for every position, for every school. I mean, we rip him every year, it feels like, in somewhere in the second or third round for this ridiculous pick.
Sometimes five rounds too high.
Yeah. Did you happen to see that play that Lincecum almost fell down throwing a pitch last night with a guy on third? He could call for a balk.
No, I heard it, though, on the...
listen, I'm stopping short of where Eric is, to you know, like, because you're
like
right.
We talk about the punter,
Dowling?
And Eric brings up Tavon Wilson. that stopping that far.
I don't know. Some people wonder why Tavon Wilson was drafted. I'm still trying to figure that out. But Dowling and Tavon Wilson were second round picks that a lot of people thought were high. They didn't go to Rutgers. To your point, Andy. Why just saying they were they were high? Like, does he automatically?
I don't know.
He has to chuckle. Like anytime you say the word
badger.
High, it automatically means that you were on drugs.
Something's in third grade. That's all right.
It's amazing. Amazing.
Let's see. John in Winnipeg. I was curious how they choose which preseason opponents they play every year. Seems that similar teams are typically involved, especially the Giants. Does Bill have a hand in picking them? He claims no, but we'll see. It seems that the four coaches this year that the Patriots play, Bill has a relationship with. Does the league do this for other teams? Do teams submit a list of who they want to play in the preseason? I'm guessing the teams, for the most part, play the other conferences, unless you ask Skip Bayless.
Well, it's generally, they try to have...
I like the Skip Bayless shot there.
They try to have the other conference. It's generally geographically based.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Short trips, East Coast, wherever. West Coast, if you're Denver.
If you're Denver.
Like,
or,
you know, Paul was like, Denver plays all four NFC West teams or something. Like, well, because that's easy. It's the other conference, and then it's...
Right.
Locally,
I think the teams have to have some say, whether it's the head coach or the GM or the owner, whatever. There's some sort of team input as to these are the teams we generally like to play. Like the Giants, it's not a coincidence that we play the Giants every year and we rotate home and away with them. It's not a coincidence.
And what I don't know, and maybe if we
he's getting adamant, it's not a coincidence
that all of a sudden Shiano.
Right, well, that we're playing the Bucks
no,
all
but
the
they,
time.
But they were
but
playing
they,
the Bucks
right,
before Shiano,
right,
and they
right.
were playing the Eagles before Chip Kelly.
You're right,
so
you're right.
No, but, it's not a coincidence.
I think it's Andy's thing. It's geographic.
Yeah,
based.
It's not a coincidence that it's those teams.
No, I don't think it is. Well, it's certainly not a coincidence on the Giants. They played them every year for as long as we can remember. So that, I mean, there's something more.
What about
coincidental?
Detroit?
I mean,
well, but that makes
that's
sense.
Not necessarily perfectly geographical. And Schwartzy's there.
That's a different one.
They're in another conference.
What I don't know,
New York, Boston.
Right.
So that makes sense, and I could see where
Detroit's
they would
a
say
short trip.
You're going to play Giants, and the coach wouldn't have any.
But not
say
the shortest.
In.
Not I mean, the if shortest. It was totally geographical. You'd play the Redskins. You'd play the.
Which we
well,
have
it's about
played
the same.
Off.
No, I know.
It's about the same.
Detroit's as close as Washington.
A little bit, maybe a little bit farther.
It's probably
but
not that
whole
much
lot.
Of a difference.
Not a whole lot.
But what we have played Washington frequently in,
mm-hmm.
the, in the preseason.
Yeah. Remember, we used to play
Carolina.
Carolina every year.
Carolina was a frequent
Washington.
Partner as well. I, listen,
Atlanta?
I don't know. You know,
Atlanta.
Bill claims he doesn't have any say in it at all. I mean, I don't know what goes on with it. I don't. I'm not behind the scenes. I was always under the impression before Bill got here. That coaches had. I remember Parcells used to talk about it.
But
he wanted to play at Green Bay
because
he thought that was a very hostile place,
exactly.
Even in the preseason.
Exactly.
Parcells talked about this a lot.
Yes.
So I don't know if something has changed since then.
I was
always under the impression that coaches had a say in putting their preseason schedules together. I would like to, maybe we could look, I mean, I don't really care that much about it, but you could look more closely at what the other teams do and see if they have similar partners from year to year. I noticed this year we were looking at
they
it.
They do.
The Broncos play the entire NFC West. They play all four teams in the NFC West in their preseason games. Now, I'm sure that the years that they play the NFC West,
they probably don't do that.
They don't
right.
do that. Mm. You know, but maybe it's just one of those anomalies.
I think it's
year.
As much of a farce to say that the teams or the teams themselves
so angry
these
about
words around.
Well, it is because it's as much of a farce to say that they don't have a hand in picking their preseason opponents as it is for a head coach to come up to the podium and say there are no ones at this time. Absolute baloney, because there's always a first drill of practice, there's always a first series of the game, and there's always the same players that go out there at the start of those units. So there's always a ones. There's always a ones, there's always twos.
I'd like to say who's
every
fighting
time
with,
of year.
But I know who, Bill Belichick.
It's a farce.
Well, I mean,
it's a farce.
Having played on sports teams
it is.
Before,
it's condescending.
You always know the coach will say, you know, everybody's, but you know,
yeah.
Everybody isn't.
Everybody's
equal.
Not equal.
Well, you always looked at
exactly.
Who went in that drill before me, and every little thing meant something.
I'm going to do something that I almost never do. I'm going to take Bill Belichick's side on this, for a smidgen. I do think that at this time of year, he's often rotating guys in and out, and that's to like he's going Fred Kerr semantics. I don't have a first unit now. Obviously. Tom Brady is the first quarterback, and we
Brian
all know
Wendell
that.
Is the first center. Logan okay. Mankins is the first left guard.
But one day it's Adrian Wilson out there with Devin McCourty. The next day it might be Steve Gregory out there with Devin McCourty. The next day it might be Devin McCourty on the sideline, and someone else could be out there. One day it's Kyle Arrington on the outside. The next day he's on the inside. That's the way he looks at it. We don't have a one yet.
As a collective. Spots.
See,
there's no question he has first-string players.
Right.
And to me, on defense – there are about 15 of them, 15, 16 of them. Just because it's not the first play, that's why I think he goes to the Fred Kirsch semantics.
Yeah, but
he takes it to
I'm
the theater of the
that,
absurd.
Eric, I think it's idiotic.
He takes
oh,
it to
is.
The theater
it
of the absurd.
It absolutely is.
You're right. They're rotating people at certain positions. But if Daron Harmon joins a group that includes McCourty, Tlaib, Mayo, Spikes, Jones,
well, he's with
he's
the ones.
He's taking reps with
again,
the ones.
No question.
He's ascended.
I'm with Eric, too.
It's all demeanor. I mean... he could have said the same thing and said, well, you know, I'd be careful about labeling guy a one at this time of year.
And he can easily say ones in early August, but not the same as ones in early September.
He has to make sure that the media is made to look foolish.
And that's fine.
That's his number one goal.
And that's fine.
But see, the problem is, see, if we didn't work here, we would push back because I know our personalities. There's nobody in that media that dares to push back. None.
Go ahead, Fred. What
are you chuckling about?
Ooh, Eric's
I don't know if we're any tougher than any of the people.
If we didn't work here,
yeah.
We would.
I'll really? Tell you this, Fred.
Yes, really,
if I spent
Fred.
The last 15 years on this beat for an independent paper, I don't think I would have lasted 15 years. I think that something would have had to have happened, and I would have had to get changed like Felger got changed from the Bruins. Because there's no way, Eric is right, there's no way I would sit there and let him pee on my head and tell me it's raining.
The only
every day.
There might be
every
one
day
or...
for 15 years
yeah.
If I had the ability to fight back.
One of the few people who does punch back when he wants to is Jim Donaldson,
well,
the Providence Journal.
But he does it in a nice way. You know?
Donaldson does do a good job.
You don't have to be belligerent.
Yeah.
And I don't think Donaldson is belligerent.
No,
he just always has three follow-ups ready. They're always in the holster.
Oh, I didn't say he was. I mean, Ken Powers at one time was kind of...
You could be as belligerent as you want, Ken.
Yeah.
And then you can go and plagiarize.
Oh.
Fact, not opinion. What happened to your whole theory? The truth is never mean, Mr. Tough Guy.
I also have rules.
Yeah.
What? If it's true, it's you can't say it? What? What
is, you're just what? Not being what? Nice. You're not being nice.
It is what it is. That's what he did.
Let's see. John also says, do you think it helped or hurt us to practice and play the Bucks in the preseason when we play them so early in the regular season? I was surprised that this seemed to be a small issue for the press. Do you think that the advantages cancel each other out, or do you think this will haunt us?
I think the advantage is far greater than the disadvantage.
I mean, we did it with the Giants, although it wasn't an early game.
No, I just think the advantage of having a competitive, controlled practice that you trust is such is huge, massive. I think that's way bigger. Playing against different types, I think it worked out well this year. We talked a lot about with Talib and some of the, you know, going from small receivers to big receivers and some of the challenge. You know, Bill was emphasizing 3-4 to 4-3 and the different types of things they did all over the place. Yeah. I think if you trust the environment, and I think that's why they got away from it years back. Remember, it always seemed like the Chiefs and the Rams, I think, would fight like every day, and like these joint practices would turn into brawls. That's not productive. That's dangerous and unproductive.
Right.
If you can make it productive like they seem to have, even with the Brady scare, I think the value is huge.
Yeah.
And I think that the whole thing with giving away stuff is grossly overblown.
What are you giving away?
That's why. I just think that they're doing so little in terms of game planning and stuff like that. Now, you know, people will look at it. So, well, look at all the two-back stuff the Patriots did the other night in the game. Well, so what? If that's what you're planning on doing, then you're going to do it.
And
you know,
guess
like,
what?
You're going to do it in the first 2 weeks.
Tampa's going to see it in week two and week one.
Exactly.
On tape.
Exactly. That's my
So what's
that's
the point?
Point?
And if you can't stop it.
And by the way,
what good is
it's
to
not
know
like,
that it's coming?
Let's just say, for an example, Eric's theory on Tebow.
Oh, I'd like the other theory on farces.
if you came up with something that was completely out of the box and, you know, Miami's Wildcat from 2008 and you that would be foolish to
be giving stuff
to unveil it in joint practices and then a preseason game when you're going to only planning on doing it against that team in week three.
Yeah.
That's stupid.
But
that's not what we're talking about, football. It's
most
just
of what they
what
do
doing.
Is we're a 4-3 team and we're running a base 4-3 defense right now. The offense knows how to block it. They know what we're basically going to do. When we go nickel, they know basically what we're going to do. We're not doing anything exotic that they don't already know.
Right.
So I just think the value far outweighs any loss of...
How much does it pay to be the team chaplain? I'm not a religious man, but I think we might get a divine boost if we promote Tebow to this position and off the roster.
Yeah.
Eric?
He would be the highest paid team chaplain in the league.
That's
I don't know how much they get paid.
I'm not even sure it's a paid gig, is it?
Probably not.
Might not be.
Just kind of you do your thing. Mm. You're spreading the word of God.
Doing
good deeds is pay enough.
Speaking of the team chaplain, I saw Don Davis when we were down in Philly. He's working, I think, for... it might be NFL players, maybe?
One of the nicest men ever.
Yeah, and he was, when he was here, he served as team chaplain for a little while.
Is that right?
Right?
Yeah.
Do they not have that guy?
He used to host Bible study.
I remember seeing that guy, but I haven't seen him in a while.
That was a long time ago, I think. He probably hasn't been here for like 8 years.
Yeah.
It's so long ago, I don't even remember the guy you guys are talking about.
I want to say Walt, but I'm not sure it was Walt.
I think you're right. I think his name was Walt.
Yeah. Just so you know, you agreeing
nice
with me doesn't
Walt.
Bring any confidence to my memory.
Yeah.
Remember that commercial on here? Nice going, Walt.
Eldridge is on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Eldridge.
Driving.
Hey, fellas. How y'all doing?
Good.
You got your Moss back. You watching Fox Sports 1?
Yeah, I know. He's a broadcaster. That's good. That's good. But I'm listening to y'all earlier, and I got a couple questions for you. All right. One question is, if they keep Tebow on the roster, that's a wasted roster spot.
Not necessarily.
I agree.
Depends on how they
somebody,
use
somebody you
the
keep,
faithful.
You
in any way he's
team.
Used, I believe it would be a waste.
This is the perfect test of faith.
I believe there'll be a better guy
that's
for
no
the 53rd
faith,
spot than him.
Stupid.
No, I mean, faith is about believing in something you have no reason to believe in, and you certainly have no reason
that,
to believe
or that
in.
You can't see.
Right.
Eric,
and we've never
seen
Tebow do anything valuable.
Eric gets up in arms because... You know, Bill says he doesn't have anything to do with the preseason, but for this, for Tebow,
he has faith.
He has faith.
It's because it's faith in Tebow, not Bill.
I'm not necessarily saying I have faith in. I'm just saying people are discounting that part of the equation.
I'm right with you, Brett. I hope they do it. I hope they do it. I just can't see how and why, because
I just can't see him being better at the other guys.
Right.
That's all.
Is he a better quarterback than Julian Edelman?
From what I've seen, no.
Honestly, I don't know.
You think Julian Edelman can throw a better pass?
I don't know. I don't know.
The devil I know sucks.
He can't throw. But you go with the devil you know as opposed to the one you don't know.
No, I'd go with the devil I don't know. This one sucks.
I do know that Edelman can catch and run better than Tebow.
That's true.
And by the way, the question is...
Well, we don't know better because we've never seen Tebow do it.
The question isn't, is he better than Edelman? The question is, he better than the other third quarterback you could have and should have brought in?
But if they weren't planning on bringing a third quarterback and they were just going to have an emergency guy.
So just get the worst one you can get. Because right now there's 112 guys that have compiled passing stats and he's number 112 in the preseason.
But can any of those guys do something else for
you? I don't care. You're going to see a massive rant from me. I'm a contrarian on this for some reason. If he's cut, I think it makes it the worst decision ever. Because I think you wasted quarterback reps in the preseason, could have gone to either Mallett or a third stringer who you could have developed. You wasted reps every single day. As I said to Paul.
Big surprise. Andy gets to rant no matter what.
Tim Tebow may have ended Quentin Sims' career because Quentin Sims has to take every damn snap with a guy who can't throw. How am I supposed to impress coaches if the guy can't throw me the ball?
But is it any different when they cut Kevin O'Connell or when they cut Brian Hoyer? I mean, what's the difference?
Hoyer was way better than Tim Tebow. He could run an offense and throw a pass.
I know,
Quentin Sims in that system would have had a chance.
They still
he
caught
hurt
him.
21 other players every time he ran a practice rep.
Wow. Yeah, he did. I got two more questions, then I'm going to let it go.
All right.
Okay. If Dotson was and Boyce was drafted in the second and third round, why are they playing with the second and third string?
Dotson,
Boyce was a fourth,
second
rounder.
And fourth round.
They've mixed them in,
okay, and they've mixed in. Dobson has fallen a little bit. Tompkins has come on a little bit. Boyce has always sort of been dabbling as the fourth receiver in and out.
And Boyce got his opportunity Friday night.
It depends
with
on the packages that
with the group
in,
that was out there with Tom Brady, not to be called the ones.
They're not always trotting out two tight ends, two wide receivers. They're mixing it up, and I've seen all different combinations. So I wouldn't get discouraged. Now I think Tompkins has earned some looks.
Like you said, Andy, he can't get no separation. And Paul, for my count, Cordell Patterson, six catches, what, 300 some, about 200 some yards and one touch.
I don't know. I haven't seen
He's
any.
He's doing it in the preseason.
Tyquan Underwood had more catches in that game than Dobson did. Three catches for 54
let's
yards.
Let's not go crazy in the season.
I mean, do you think Tyquan Underwood is better than Aaron Dobson?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Come on. Okay.
All right. Thanks for the call. He was honest. I can't argue with him. I mean, I think it's a little silly.
He has better hair. That's it.
And one more question, I'm going to let it go. Okay, that 41 Green, he ain't starting nowhere, is he? Because he's burning it till I look at him.
No, Justin Green is about the eighth cornerback on the
roster.
Oh,
yeah. He's way
no chance of making the team.
So why are they
playing him? I do like his aggressiveness.
And they're called camp bodies.
Yeah, you have to have corners to play late.
Why is he starting in the preseason? Most of my
because they had he didn't start first of all, and secondly they had guys injured and they needed people to step up.
Arrington and Tlaib were the starting cornerbacks the other night.
Yeah,
and Logan Ryan was the third cornerback.
Well,
he played with the twos.
To me, if y'all say they're smart and they're intelligent, Harmon and Ryan. Except for that one pass that he picked off.
I know, but Eldridge.
Two games.
You can't start watching in the fourth quarter and assume those are the guys.
Those are the guys that are going to be playing in the eighth.
I'm watching the whole game.
I'm only kidding.
Record the game.
I'm only kidding. I want that ride in your Camaro.
Okay. Right. Come to the 18th. We got there. Like I said, lunch.
I know.
We good.
I know. I'm waiting.
We good.
All right. Okay, Eldridge.
See Eldridge. All right.
Tom in Nottingham, UK, enjoying the offseason coverage, was on holiday for the first two preseason games, so haven't been able to experience the new broadcasting format, but hoping to watch the next game. You only missed one. So the last game was a Fox broadcast, but you'll see it game 3 Thursday night. I've been reading a few articles on Gronkowski and his debatable availability for week 1. I would prefer he sit out the first 6 weeks on the understanding that he would be healthier for the end of the season. Would you guys take 3-3 through 6 games with Gronk resting and come back 100% for week 7, or would you rather have 6-0 start, but he must start week 1 at whatever percent he's at?
I'll take 3-3 and have a healthy Gronk for the rest of the season.
I don't know. If they're 6-0, that means he probably had a part in it, right? And then
yeah, but there's no guarantee. If you're giving me the guarantee that he's healthy the rest of the season, I'll take the 3-3 and take my chances.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'll take a healthy Gronk the rest of the year. Is that a guarantee?
If you're guaranteed, yeah.
Give me a healthy Gronk as like a he can't get hurt.
Yeah.
He's going to be Gronk. Okay, yeah. I'll take him.
And that's impossible.
Right.
I know, but
that's what we do here. That's the question.
No, I know, but I agree. I don't think there's anything to debate. If you know that he's healthy,
right,
that's what we all want.
Some of us think you might be 3-3 with him.
Also, on a lighter note, during my holiday, I noticed
taking your temperature from one day to the next.
Because the 3-3 there is Atlanta, Cincinnati, and New Orleans in a row.
Why are we talking on the side of the
phones? On a lighter note, during my holiday, I noted that the
toilet
was made by a company called Jets. So I made sure that I took a crap on the Jets every single day with a big grin on my face. Looking forward to proper football starting the next few weeks.
Proper.
As opposed to that.
Yeah, enough of this preseason.
Other football.
I'm sick of it. Let's move on.
Right?
What's the other football? Preseason?
Football.
That just started last weekend.
Did it?
Oh, the EPL?
Yeah. Yes.
That's a big thing now. NBC's got it, right?
Yes.
Yeah, my son's starting to get into soccer, too. He was watching that game the other day. It was a very depressing time
what
in
game?
The Perlow house. The
there were a bunch of games
an EPL
on.
Game on
there
NBC.
Several.
Real TV.
I think it was a Man U game.
What are the leagues? Premier League?
English Premier League.
That's the best?
Well, it's the English league, and
they
have
English
the most
league.
Money.
Yeah.
Then you have Bundesliga, which is
Bundesliga
German.
In Germany.
That's the German one.
I've never heard of that.
You have Serie A, which
Serie A
is the Italian
Italy.
League.
La Liga in Spain.
Right.
Liga in France.
South America.
Of course, then you have
the
MLS.
South American league has.
Wait,
has,
so English Premier League is only in England?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, the UK.
So doesn't Spain have some really good guy, and there's like racism and stuff? Who's that guy?
Yeah. They have a lot of racism.
Well, there are, yeah, there's a,
well, yeah, but like he's really good, but like the racism, anytime he doesn't do anything perfect.
They had an issue, yeah.
Yeah, I thought there was a major issue. So what are they in? La Liga?
That's Liga. La Liga in Spain.
Oh, yeah. The A is separate, right?
Liga. Serie A.
Serie A.
That's
Italy.
That's
yeah.
Italy.
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
It's funny, I don't.
I do, no.
I just kind of know the story.
Mario Balotelli.
Yes. Where does he play
yes,
in
he
what
plays,
league?
Now he plays for in Serie A for AC Milan.
So Serie A
yeah.
is not as good as EPL?
No, it's the
Some
same.
Some of the teams are. I think
now,
top
do they
to bottom
sell
EPL is the best.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Those two
yeah.
leagues?
Yeah, sure.
I think top to bottom EPL is the best. And they have an interesting thing. Like if you're the last.
Love it.
If you come in last,
love
you
it.
Go down to basically
three.
Another league.
It's the bottom three.
Bottom
love
three.
It.
Bottom
yeah.
three.
Relegation.
Relegation.
Is my favorite
exactly.
aspect of soccer.
Yeah.
I think it's phenomenal.
Bottom three and the top three from the league
they
below get elevated.
I think that is the best thing soccer has to offer.
It's great. It's very competitive, and yeah. at the end of the year, it makes for...
It really caused for a lot of bad blood in the Everett Softball League, which also had that.
I think really? It's great. I mean, you relegate the Jags.
No, there was, in all seriousness, there was an A, B, and C league, and the last place team in the A league automatically had to go down to B, and the champ of the B went up to A. And same thing with B and C. It does, but you know what it did in all seriousness? And I know you don't have to worry about this in a professional league, but it made the teams that were bad and were out of it, that made them continue to keep coming
right.
and
sure.
take the game seriously as the summer went on. So you didn't get stuck going down there and getting
right.
a forfeit because, oh, that team's out of it. They didn't show up.
Right.
They tried
that's
to
right.
win.
Right.
It's excellent.
Although, where would you do it in the end? Where would they go to?
Well, they wouldn't have
yeah,
one
they don't
NFL,
have that option. In the
go
NFL.
To Canada.
Go to Finland.
That'd be funny.
As Tony
the
Mass
top
would
three
say.
Canadian teams get to bump up to the NFL.
In the old World League, it would have worked, of American football, and you had, like, those teams. That would be cool.
The Jacksonville wow. Jaguars this week against the Barcelona Dragons.
Right! Yeah. And then you'd have, eventually, the Barcelona
right.
Dragons joining the NFL.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a way to sneak English London teams in. You start a league, then go with the whole relegation thing. Eventually, you pump up the London team so they can bump out the Jags. Or they are the Jags.
To me, the yeah. only problem with having a London team or any European team is logistics. It's got nothing to do with anything else. It's just
okay.
How do you
waving
make
his
it,
hands around?
He's getting all flustered
how do you
already.
Make it fair for everybody?
Well, once these new tubes are instituted, have you seen these new tubes
under the water?
Well, it's anywhere. The guy from Tesla, is that his name?
Tesla, the
two
car manufacturer?
Whoever that billionaire
two
is,
hours,
he has
right?
tubes.
Cross-country
yeah.
in 2 hours?
Yeah, he wants to make these tubes that'll be like 2 hours to San Francisco, and they potential to go 4,000 miles an hour.
You didn't hear about this, Freddie?
So what,
I
figured sit in it with your face like
well,
those guys in the jet planes?
I don't know how the pressurization and all that
I
works.
I figured that you'd be all over this stuff.
Right?
It's magnet-based. It's all magnet-based technology.
What happens when one of the tubes gets, you know, one of the things gets stuck in the tube?
Massive
smash!
I wouldn't want to have my tubes tied.
Oh, Jesus.
Charlotte writes in, or Michelle. Her name's really Charlotte, though.
Who?
I don't know. Michelle from Stockholm.
Oh, really?
Hearing Gronk might be ready for week 3 is worrisome to me. I wish they just put him on PUP, let him rehab, heal up properly. I dialed up Mom again, of course, and she said since it's his second surgery, although not on the same disc, he'd be better off if they let him build up his strength in the core. She also mentioned it's hard to work out with 1.5 arms. So she eloquently put it, What do you guys think? And I can't believe that Amendola missing a practice yesterday wasn't national news and didn't get analyzed live on NFL Network for at least 3 hours. They're slacking. Check.
Well, it really should in this day and age of NFL Live and NFL Network and now Fox Football Daily.
Well,
that's a pretty good topic to discuss
on a given night.
Strangely,
I think that NFL Network sort of poo-pooed it before it got started.
That's unlike them.
Because Bert was here, and he's the one that put up the initial tweet out that it was.
So it was this another case of him doing a stand-up where he says, nothing to worry about, day of rest, and on the thing below him it says, Amendola misses practice, major concern in New England.
Right. You know, but I do think that, like, look at Fred, who's, you know, he's keeping track of this stuff. That was the last thing that you had seen on it, right?
Right.
So I think that I think NFL Network sort of sabotaged itself. This is I'm with Mish. I think this is something that you would think the national guys would glom onto, much like they did with Gronkowski. They've blown that to something that it wasn't. He didn't return to practice. The NFL media, it was whatever NFL.com, I think, sent out the tweet. Gronkowski returns to practice. No, he didn't. Right?
Yeah, they did not.
Check.
No, but that's what the national Sports guys night. Do. They mm-hmm. sensationalize.
Create breaking news by just stating facts these days.
Right.
It's unbelievable.
Wait, are there now four? Does NBC Sports Network, don't they have a daily football show too?
Well, do you count the Florio thing?
No.
No, he's on that show?
He's talking about real football
shows. I'm talking about people that know something about the NFL.
Wow.
But so ESPN does. Don't they have NFL Live or NFL Today or whatever the hell it is?
NFL Live. And then they have an Insiders
Fox
thing, too.
Fox Football has one. They debuted last night with Glazier and Moss.
Seen that yet.
The NFL Glazer Network.
Glazier said he had some exclusive interview that was really going to make headlines. What was it?
No. He had exclusive tape. It was the Antonio Smith tape.
That was not TV tape.
Yeah.
That was some sort of high tape. That he gets.
It was high tape.
No. I'm like coach's film.
And how did he get it? The team must have given it to him.
This
right?
was in practice?
No, yeah. It was in a game.
Was it in the game?
Yeah, it was a preseason
game. Practice.
How did,
now.
How did nobody
not a practice.
Have tape on?
Couldn't have been. Well, and they're on two different teams, and it looked like a game to me.
Oh.
I was going to say, then how did the team that was broadcasting it, how did they not have tape of it?
Sometimes these local broadcasters in the preseason aren't great. Case in point, Paul and Andy are on.
Oh, come on now.
Alex from Philly, I guess Brady's incident, was just a scare as he looked as sharp as ever on Friday. Disaster averted. Someone tell Brady to please wear his brace at all times. I guess someone did.
Somebody did.
Someone who can tell.
Yes. According to Tom Brady, that someone was Robert Kraft.
Yes.
Who, what did he say, insisted that he wear it?
He said, what's the big deal? Why don't you just wear it? And he said, all right, I'll wear it.
Right.
Well, that's what Brady's. I'm repeating exactly the way Brady said it. Brady
it's a
was doing
issue. Yeah.
Brady was doing the
Brady,
craft. Voice.
Brady can do it. He was saying,
wear it on the field, off the field, when he eats, when he sleeps, when he drives, and when he uses the bathroom.
Fred wants him to have a brace on his whole body.
Right.
He should get the Iron Man suit.
Now on to my question: why does this defense seem to always play well against the Bucs, in particular the pass rush? I'm naming Brandon Spikes and Tommy Kelly co-defensive players of the year right now. Lastly, can Tebow get any worse? 1 yard passing, wow, what a winner.
No, minus 1 yard, by the way.
Yeah,
you gave him too much credit.
Minus there.
You gave him two more yards than he had.
One thing that I know the stats book gave Tommy Kelly that sack, but it was really Chandler Jones and Wilfork that forced him into Kelly on that play.
You talking about the one in Philadelphia?
No, Friday
this past
night.
Week.
I didn't know Tommy Kelly was involved in a sack the other
Yeah.
Night.
Yeah. That first one.
Yeah.
Spikes had two. Jones and Ninkovich
Spikes
each had one.
Spikes had two.
Yeah, Spikes definitely had
Spikes
two.
Spikes had two. Jones and Ninkovich had one. I didn't know Kelly had one.
Oh, maybe I'm thinking of Eagles.
Eagles game, they gave the strip sack to Kelly
and it
when
have
it
been
was Chandler Jones. Kelly wrapped him up and Chandler Jones came in.
Now, they should
swatted.
Have split the sack because Jones and Kelly both had him, but
Jones
knocked the ball out of Foles' hand.
You know the best part of the other night? I don't know if you read it, Fred. I'm hoping you did because you're supposed to edit our stuff. Chandler Jones saying it was good to see quarterbacks running around out there not having time to throw or something to that.
A quote that'll be repurposed.
Well, it was a good quote.
The next issue.
He was giddy. He was downright giddy. He was excited.
See, the problem with that quote is you're admitting that they did have time to throw and we weren't as good as we could have been.
Well, that's a fact.
I know, but you don't say that.
Why?
You just don't.
Can you not say stuff like that? That makes them not say anything like he said, and then we get nothing. Can we get something just ever?
I don't understand why that's so bad.
Because the insinuation of not having the pressure to not, and then when they have time,
was on display for all to see over the last whatever many years.
Well, yeah, but they don't necessarily.
It's not like he said, like, you know, it's nice that the coaches are actually letting us get after the quarterback now. Now I'm with Fred. Now you're insinuating that the coaches didn't let you blitz and didn't let you do things.
That's different.
He's saying that we needed to do a better job in the past, and it's nice that we're doing a better job now. I have no problem with that.
I have no problem with that.
Let's see. Travis in Collierville, Tennessee. It seems recently that everyone is being a little tough on Steven Gostkowski's field goal consistency. Hitting 35 yards in okay is okay. You might have an argument, but getting on him for missing a 50-yard-plus field goal and complaining about his inconsistency is like complaining about the consistency of a three-point shooter missing a half-court shot. Give the guy a little slack.
It's a good point.
Well, but part of it is, like, one day on practice, yes, they were 45-yard field goals. He missed six straight. You know, I think if I give Larry Bird some half-court shots, he's going to hit some.
I think in this league, a 45-yarder, you should make especially, in practice, you should make it 80% of the time.
No rush, no nothing. Just him, the long snapper, and the holder.
Oh,
you know,
more,
this is like...
I agree. And if he only missed one, I would agree. He's missed three in the preseason.
Yeah. And he missed a 44-yarder? Was
44,
one of them.
53, and 50.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're all
so,
long kicks, but you shouldn't miss all three
I'm
of them.
I'm with Fred. 44, not a long kick anymore.
No, I'm just 44 saying,
is,
if he had made two out of three of those kicks... And someone was saying,
he's
got to make all of those.
If he hadn't missed beyond, less than 50 yet, 44 to me is a very makeable, expected, in this day and age.
I agree. 45
80,
and 80,
85.
This is an old school and like,
I think
know,
if flat
foot and running straight on. They're expert kickers now.
Also, at this time of year, I'll bet you those 50-yarder, 80-plus percent for most of the kickers in the league. Now, you want to get into December and wind and all that stuff, that's different.
Yeah,
but in the
blows.
Summer, come on. And by the way, I don't really think that he's under the gun.
Well, he not the Fred Kirsch type gun.
No, but I mean, I
he
think
doesn't have competition.
There was questions
first of
in the conference
nope.
call on Saturday.
He was
about the level
of confidence.
He got a vote of confidence from Bill, and then people, you know, he's missed three out of four field goals in the preseason after having probably his worst season last year. I think he missed six. Six did he miss?
I believe he tied his rookie year.
Yeah.
Or something.
So. I don't think that, you know, it's out of the ordinary to be asking questions
percentage
about a kicker
wise,
who normally makes a lot.
About no, I mean, he wasn't drastically off percentage-wise, though.
Meanwhile, you're trying to run the punter out of town.
That's over, by the way. I've declared that race over.
Yeah, Mesko has.
No, who declared that race over?
Mesko.
Ryan Allen.
Mesko.
See, I think it was Ryan Allen.
I agree.
When he had some situational opportunities that he booted.
Juve writes in after watching.
Oh, wait. I did some research. I talked to a source. Who says that the three things that were supposed concerns with Ryan Allen coming out of college were, one, that he doesn't have the biggest leg. He gets by with consistency and trajectory, which I don't really know what that necessarily means. Two was when he transferred from Oregon State, he petitioned to play immediately. And when you do something like that, sometimes you're labeled like a...
malcontent.
Tough to get along with or like, you know, don't follow rules kind of thing. And the third was that he's left-footed and most NFL punters are right-footed. And I was like,
well, that's
a plus here.
So those aren't a lot of good bona fides.
So really no reason. And he was in the mix. You know, some people had him ranked as like the second or third punter. So he kind of went where he was expected. He didn't get drafted and now he'll be on the practice squad.
Juve writes in, after watching the game Friday night, I feel better both about our offense and defense. Brady, well, he's Brady. He looked sharp. Mallett kind of surprised me with a couple of decent throws. And Tebow, well, not so good. Actually, he was horrible. Even my wife, who loves Tebow, actually used the word suck and Tebow in the same sentence.
Well. Yeah, unfortunately for you, she might have been thinking something.
If I were you, I would keep your wife away.
Yes. I know from experience because my wife said.
What?
Your wife did what?
Your wife?
What?
What? Relax. She said, I see what all the fuss is about. He's a very attractive man.
I have an idea of how to
use
Tebow.
My wife was thoroughly unimpressed.
Yeah, because she was busy talking about how much Bon Jovi is
Well,
great.
She's got paws.
Right. Well, that was the inference, Fred. Thank you.
I have an idea of how to use Tebow. Upon us receiving the ball, returning it to wherever on the field, first down, let's just punt the ball on our first down. This way we move the ball. I mean, we get positive yards as opposed to letting Tebow miss a throw by far on first down, lose 15 yards and a sack on second down, and on third down, Tebow throws a pick. What the H? by punting the ball first would be a much better option, plus our defense could make a play.
H-E double hockey sticks.
So he's being funny.
Making it funny.
Fred, you and I don't believe we had a chance to discuss this on the air. You and I were a little, or questioning a little bit, Ryan Mallett's snap count in the preseason, and maybe he could use some more snaps in an important preseason,
well,
and maybe get a game
is
to
that
himself.
He finishes the third game and has the fourth game to himself.
So we're done seeing Tebow.
That could be, but I was wrong in the last game. I was shocked to see Tebow come in so soon.
Before we knew about Brady, I had actually said I would have liked to have seen all Mallett game two. You know, if Brady was in any way nicked up, sit him and let Mallett tell him you're starting, you're finishing, you're making adjustments, right. You'll have a lot of receivers, you're doing all this stuff.
I think there's something to be said about that, to go in knowing, all right, this is my game.
Which is why I think they're wasting reps with Tebow.
If you think that if Tebow, you think Tebow won't play in the fourth game?
I'm thinking he won't. I'm thinking it's going to be Mallett's game. And
I think if he's still on the roster, he plays.
Yeah. I think there is something to be said about telling a quarterback, this is your game.
Oh,
you're
agree.
You're going to start it, and you're going to finish.
No, I'm with you guys.
And I even
I
said to you, I thought we were
going
to see more Mallett.
You did. You said
I wanted
that.
Him
we
to run back out or something, and we never saw him again.
Yeah, I thought for sure that we would get something, you know, even like on a second down. Tebow's out there, first down, they run a play, second down, all of a sudden Mallett runs in because you're simulating an injury.
Right. And we've seen that before.
Oh, yeah. And they didn't do it.
Yeah.
I'm going up to see Bill.
Okay. You can ask him about the
try
farce.
Try not to call him a farce.
let's see. Chester's on the line from Oregon. Hey, Chester.
Hey, what's up, guys? You know, I wanted to just comment quickly on a couple things you just talked about. You know, number one is Gostkowski. I don't think we need to find a replacement, but it sure would be nice to have somebody to light a fire. And, you know, you always wonder if you're going to mentally psych them out or whatnot. But, you know, that's just my overall feeling on that. You know, I'm glad you touched on Mallett. You know, I called on the PPGS saying this was going to be kind of my spotlight on the game, is to see where he was going. I really liked that third series, and I felt good about seeing some improvement. But when I hung up, you guys, you know, kind of elaborated and talked about going wire to wire with him. And I like that idea. I'd like to see more of that this week, and I'd like to see Tebow in there on a wrinkle play here and there maybe. But, you know, I fully agree. I think we need to take reps away from him and start developing that. But listen, hey, the primary reason why I called is I wanted to give a minute to give it up to the front seven as far as for what we've seen in this defense so far in preseason. And, you know, I know we stay cautious because it is the preseason. And I tuned in late, so I'm not sure how much you guys covered here. But, you know, I love the speed off the edge. And, you know, we've been talking season after season about how this could possibly benefit our coverage. And I think we saw a lot of that start to click. You know, Spike's looking really sharp. And I think this contract year, you know, we could really maximize his production. But, you know, amidst all that, Jake Beckett hasn't been one single part of this. And I think he's going to be a casualty coming up. And what a shame. I mean, considering we were putting him and Chandler Jones neck and neck in terms of projections and their impact. And really a bummer there. But Tommy Kelly, instant benefit in the middle. And, you know, just wanted to give kudos there. So, you know, thought it was explosive as eating macaroni and cheese and barbecue sauce, right, Andy? I mean, that's what I'm seeing there.
I hear you, bro.
So with a Dave Grizzoli fist bump, I say go fast. And,
Dave.
Over and out, fellas.
Bye. All right. Thanks. Boy, Dave Grizzoli, that's a
blast from the past.
That goes way back.
But I'm feeling the Kelly. How much can you get out of him? And, sure. And I know, and we talked about this on the pregame social, it's not so much will he get hurt, because he's been very consistent over his career. He's been like a 16-game guy. But you just wonder, at his size and his age, as they start to wear down, can he give you September-type play in November or December? And do you need that without the depth? Or maybe you develop one of these young guys and you feel more comfortable with them late.
Scott, New Jersey, your listeners seem to be way too concerned about the status of Tebow. I'm more concerned about the development of Mallett. He is, after all, Brady's backup. I don't yet see him as someone who can take them to the playoffs if Brady's out. To me, the question is not whether Mallett is better than Tebow. He obviously is. It's is Mallett good enough? Is this team Brady or bust, or can Mallett do the job? I think when I say we're talking Super Bowl or bust, right? And I think it's bust.
I think you have a chance to still win the AFC East if Brady was out. Mallett
depends
had to
when
play.
And how. And
yeah, I agree.
No, I'm talking the whole year. If he had to play like Castle, I think there's a chance they could win the division with Mallett.
Well, but I still, like, does he have Gronk or does he not have Gronk?
Well, for the first four or five games, he doesn't have Gronk, I'm assuming.
But does he come back and he's dominant? And then I would say, do the rookies develop? He needs more out of the other ifs on the team.
Yeah.
He needs Chandler Jones to be better. He needs the rookies to be
just think so little of the teams that they play that I think that they would win.
Certainly some of them are snake-bitten.
You know, Buffalo, Miami, and the Jets, I just don't see them as threats. Now, some of those other games that you talk about that you and – well, I shouldn't say you. Eric has them all in the loss column. You have them, you know,
2-5.
3-3 in those, you know, because they're going to lose to all the games that they're
– No, 2-5 in the seven-game stretch.
Yeah, but you had the three in a row. You said Orleans, Cincinnati, and
– I think all three of those are losable.
Atlanta. Well, yeah, they're losable, but they're probably going to only lose one of them, in my opinion.
Two tough games on the road, I think, is difficult. And if you get blowed out by the Falcons and then go on the road to a very physical Bengals team –
I don't think
Cincinnati's
as tough as you think they are.
Well, I think they're a pretty good football team now.
They're all right.
They don't beat any football league.
They don't beat anybody good.
Yeah, unless
they
do.
Take advantage of the same thing the Patriots take advantage of. That they play bad teams and they beat them.
Time will tell.
Andrew in Toronto writes in, like I said in my last tweet, in my tweet last night, the new Patriots Football Daily app is amazing. Great work, and I can't wait for you guys to get back to 3-day-a-week broadcast. You guys should start doing 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. Here's my question.
I would love that.
And by the way, the Patriots Football Daily app just came out with a new update. So if you haven't updated yours, please do. There's a lot of cool features. You can even, anywhere in the world, during a game, click a button and listen to the live PA sound system from Gillette Stadium.
For another Patriots.
So you can put that on in the background and feel like you're at the stadium. It's pretty awesome.
Mix in some Kirsch words and you're just there.
Right. You don't even have to watch the TV. Turn the TV off.
I don't think we want to do that.
No. Well, unless you're a Nielsen family, then put it on.
Yeah. The second straight week, the Patriots game, the highest, most watched show in Boston.
Well, second.
Oh.
Most.
I thought it was first.
Second most.
Second most watched show.
No, I got to read more closely.
That's what it said.
I think it was the most.
I thought it said most.
That's what
I thought it said for the second week in a row, second most watched show.
No. I thought it was the most.
Well, maybe I
You're reading it to what you want it to be.
No.
No.
He's part of the first one. He wants them to watch. I was actually thinking, whoa. 500,000 people watched us?
It killed. I know the first week it killed. No one was even close.
I don't know. Don't yell at me.
It's most watched program for the second straight week.
Oh, okay. So I misread it.
Yeah.
And there were more viewers in week one, just so you know.
Yeah, no, when we were that's on. Idiotic on your part. I mean, Andy and I are part of the broadcast.
Because
he's saying that's what I wanted it to say.
He wants the
second
Red Sox
most. No, give me more money. Yeah, no. I want. Yeah, that's what I want. The Red Sox.
First of all, it's not competing with the Red Sox. Isn't this all TV?
No,
yes.
It's New England.
Yeah, but
of all shows.
So this is X Factor.
I wasn't putting the Red Sox into it.
The Red Sox are not
competition. In our demographic, the only thing that would compete would be a Red Sox game.
No.
No, this is all TV shows.
I understand.
That's incorrect.
So it's competing with,
the
Red
Sox
and a Half Men. It's competing with everything.
The Red Sox didn't even get a third of what the Patriots got.
The only thing that could have a chance would be like a Yankees-Red Sox game.
But what I'm telling you is that's not
right. No, that is not true.
The only thing that would have a chance is like a new episode of like CSI or something like that.
The X Factor season finale or American
nowhere
Idol or whatever's big
nowhere
now.
Near the amount of people that watch the network show. Something like The Voice would watch a Red Sox game. Not even close. The Red Sox would get killed by that.
In New ratings. England?
Yes.
Everywhere.
I'm talking about New England.
No, but The Voice is everywhere. Yes, locally it competes with the Patriots game here. It competes with the Cowboys game in Dallas. It competes with whatever.
But that's not what those numbers are. It's just New England.
But it's The Voice in
New
England.
It might even be just the Boston market.
It's probably just the Boston market.
It is Boston market. Right. But my point is the Red Sox don't get anywhere near the ratings that they do on
the
network
in
Boston.
The Yankees-Red Sox game Friday night did decent numbers.
What was it?
It was not far behind the Patriots, I don't think.
It was double digits?
I think so.
Because that's a huge jump.
I'm not buying that.
I read it from that release.
I don't have the release, obviously.
Okay. All right. Anyway.
Just more importantly, the game that included Paul and Andy had higher ratings.
Much higher, yes.
Than the game that didn't.
That's correct.
That is the bottom line.
Because people don't like Fox.
Because Stone Cold said so.
Even though I would have watched the Fox one more because it had Cletus the Robot. Have we talked about that? That there was an actual...
Yes, you have incessantly.
Cletus the Robot, the Fox robot, was here. It was huge. It was blue. It was awesome.
Did you hear about his wife?
What? What is it? Tell me, because I know it should be dirty and it should be obvious.
Well, his name is Cletus, and her name is... rhymes with Dolores.
That's what I was thinking, but I wasn't sure.
He has no idea what you're talking about.
No,
either.
He doesn't. It's a Seinfeld
reference. Well, I think we can say it, too.
Yeah, we could say
it. It's
that.
Anatomical part.
Right. Andrew in Toronto
we
also
say the
says,
other word. You say the P word, but you won't say the actual word.
Here's my question. After what can only be described as a dismal performance on Friday night, Tim Tebow's day should be numbered, but I'm still betting he makes the 53-man roster.
Me too.
I suggest instead the Patriots sign our new punter Ryan Allen to the 53-man roster for the following reason. One, it'll be good for laughs holding two punters on a 53-man roster. Two, Allen can punt and hold kicks for Guskowski if Mesko's legs and fingers get tired. Three, we can roll out on fourth down in a two-punter set, confusing the receiving team as they won't know who will receive the kick or where. Imagine an end-around play with punters kicking. Again, good for a laugh. Should I go on here?
When did the good for a laugh get laughed?
But seriously, having a second punter as a bench warmer is no different than having Tim Tebow on this 53-man team. This experiment should be over.
Well, to be fair, Ryan Allen does his job better than Tim Tebow does his, from what we've seen in the preseason.
Let's see. Bobby writes in. Bobby. Hey, guys. Missed the red leather chairs this week. Looking forward to seeing them again Thursday. Quick question. I think our most shallow position right now is interior defensive line. Don't get me wrong. I love Wilfork and Kelly. Looks like they could be really useful, but after looks like he could be really useful. But after that, there's a pretty steep drop. What are the chances we add another veteran defensive tackle? Who's out there on the market that you guys like?
Nobody, but I certainly wouldn't leave out a trade. You know, these build trades that he does.
And there's got to be an NFL player.
Is there a chance
as a defensive tackle? You know what I'm saying? Like, as opposed to, you know, adding another Corey Grissom. No disrespect to Corey Grissom.
Oh, yeah, no.
There's got to be a veteran who is either out of work right now or going to get cut that they can bring in and provide
Gerard Warren type.
Yeah, provide some depth.
Sure.
That's what
I wouldn't be stunned to see that. But I also
I don't have names for you right now.
3 weeks from now, a month from now, whatever it is, you're saying, Corey Grissom's not terrible. Like, when he lines up next to Wilfork, he's not terrible. We've had enough of these big fat guys come through and prove that, you don't really have to be all that good.
That was the point I was about to make.
We'll do that.
We don't know who, really know these guys backing up Kelly and Wilfork, but is there a chance that drop is the same drop as it was when Gerard Warren and Wilfork were there?
A little more of a drop, but I would compare it to Dederick or Love or, I mean, Corey Grissom is a thought of undrafted player.
I keep trying to get you to watch that Tim Lincecum falling off the mound.
So I wouldn't be stunned. You know, Marcus Forston. I wouldn't be stunned if he's... Now, I'm not saying if you have to line up both. If something happens to Wilfork and Kelly and all of a sudden I have Grissom and Forston. Well, now I'm saying rut-row raggy. But if I have my main guy out there, then we have a tendency to say... I something value the position. I don't think it's all that important a position.
Yeah, I completely render it irrelevant.
Mike writes in, after I saw the Patriots go for a two-point conversion after their first touchdown, I thought, why would you ever kick an extra point in preseason, or a field goal for that matter? When are you going to have the opportunity again to run plays like that when in the regular season you only do when your back is up against the wall? I know kickers need practice, too, but game practice, they can kick all day if they want.
Well, I sort of agree with you, but I also think you need to practice the things you do in the regular season.
Yeah, I don't agree on field goals. I mean, I could be persuaded on extra points because I think that's such a mundane routine thing that the 11 guys that are involved in that process could do that anytime, whether it's game conditions or not. But you should be able to go out and practice a 42-yard field goal.
Sure.
I mean, I think that's not the same as practice. The game setting in the preseason is not the same as what you're doing on the practice field. I think that needs to be worked on.
I also
on.
Don't think the value of that fourth down play is all that valuable.
Right.
Two-point conversion is a different play. That
that's
don't
why I said
always,
I could be argued with that.
To me, that
I
fourth could... down play is just like a third down play. Your play you're going to run, you've already practiced.
Yeah,
you've already run in a game.
Let's say it's third and seven, and if you don't get it, you have to kick a 42-yard field goal. That's just like a fourth down play to the offense.
Right.
That's the way they're looking at it. It's do or die. We either get the first down or we have to kick a field goal, right?
Right.
So I don't really think putting it in a fourth down situation creates a situation for the offense. Whereas a two-point conversion does create a situation for the offense.
Completely
unique.
We're
here on the two. This is a unique play. We need to get in the end zone. Here's our two-point plays. Let's work on them.
Rich is in Toronto. Rich, did you call on the 855 number?
Nope.
Oh.
Why not?
The 508 number.
You should call 855. Fred would have paid for it.
855-PATS-500.
Well, you guys do a great job already for all the fans. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure, no problem.
Thank you. What do you got?
Got an over-under, just an over-under question for you.
Ooh, I like it.
The number is one. Players on the field in uniform after Christmas to give their coach a hug.
Players on the field in uniform after Christmas to give their coach a hug.
I'm going to hang up and listen. Thanks for taking my call.
Okay. Thanks, right. Rich.
So was that a trick question or something?
I think it's a Tebow question.
I don't get it.
Well, there's no regular season games in January this year. They're done in December. So is he talking about playoffs?
Is that right?
Yeah, Sunday, December 29th.
Yeah.
So what's the 26th?
After Christmas, the last game is the Bills game.
I'm sure it's some sort of a...
The number of players in uniform after Christmas on the field to give their coach a hug. I don't know.
I'm stunned. There's three of us here that are completely speechless.
Eric would have got it.
The only thing I can think of is, does he mean playoff games? Will there be playoff games, and will they win any? Right?
No, but he set the number at one, which is also interesting. Just one.
Yeah, the over-under is one, and it's after Christmas, not after the regular season.
Right.
Because the 29th, you said?
Right.
The last game. So
right.
It's after Christmas.
Right.
I don't get it.
Is this a math problem?
Yeah.
We're not good at that.
Rich, we're not smart.
If I open one door...
All we know is the Patriots. And we don't really know them all that well.
Anyway.
This Bill will be first to tell you.
I'll take under. You take over. That way we can play.
You just say the number of players in uniform...
Yes.
...on the field to give,
to
their,
give the coach a hug. I just don't understand.
So I'll say that Tebow will be in uniform and we'll hug him. So
it was a complicated proposal, and I just didn't understand it.
Mike in Florida, Canadian Mike in Florida. I just watched the Bucks
Canadian Mike in Florida.
I just watched the Bucks game again to see if Amendola got nicked up. With 4:10 left in the first quarter, Amendola made the last reception Brady had. Amendola made the catch and was hit by two guys. The one hit was almost directly to the head, and he felt funny on his shoulder. He got up slowly, cringed, and came off for one play, then returned. The following play was Brady's first incomplete pass of the game,
and then the
ones were out. At the time, I thought Amendola might have been dinged up a bit because of that hit. I would not be surprised that this is when he got hurt. I wonder if he fell badly on the shoulder, which he dislocated last year. On another note.
And he has been wearing this summer, we've seen it various times, he takes his shirt off. A strap system on that shoulder.
Yeah.
So
I would say that if you remember that the one incompletion was sort of an awkward
reach. Yeah.
He reached back with his right arm and it kind of flailed because the ball, I don't know if there was just bad timing on the play or a bad read on someone's part. The throw was well to the inside as he was breaking out toward the sideline.
Right.
And he kind of reached back funny. If that was the shoulder, did he say if it was the right or left shoulder?
It would have been the right on that play.
Yeah, but did he say that he landed on the right or left shoulder? He might have gotten dinged up.
Fell funny on
his
shoulder.
You know what I'm saying, Andy?
Sure.
Maybe he banged the shoulder and it kind of felt funny, but he was all right. And then all of a sudden he made an awkward movement and it was like, oh, that hurt.
Sure.
You know, and then that was the night. You know, yeah. Rampant speculation, but who knows?
On another note, Sudfeld seems to be more of a Gronk-type tight end. When Gronk comes back, and assuming Sudfeld makes the team, does this make it more complicated to get the two of them in the game at the same time?
Now he's Hernandez and Gronk, just so you know.
Obviously, we would love to have a dual threat again at the tight end position, but will it be a little different design with those two guys?
Yes. Neither of them is anything like the quickness of Aaron Hernandez.
Okay, so Rich is emailing. He meant in the playoffs. So it was as simple as, will they win a playoff game and have the chance to? But why the number one?
Well, no one's going to hug him if
they
lose.
So, wait a minute. Is Rich saying that he doesn't think they're going to make the playoffs?
I'm
still baffled.
I think he's questioning it. Do we think they're going to win a playoff
game? So, what do Rich and Eric have in common? Oh, wait. You don't think they're going to win a playoff game either, right?
I've been consistent with that. They win the division. No, they host a wild card game.
Yeah.
They lose. The Bengals beat them here at Gillette Stadium.
Yeah. I'm not willing to say that yet.
You're not
going
to say anything. You're not passionate about anything.
That's just bull.
Higgins and Hopkinson.
How can you say like all these teams are markedly better when you haven't seen them play yet?
I don't know.
And it doesn't seem that way.
What does
it doesn't seem that way, Fred. I agree with you. Now, I am not on the.
I think the
you've
Bengals
been on the
be
whole
good.
Bandwagon that the quality of play has gone down in the NFL.
Oh yeah, but
I'm certainly seeing that with the.
But it seems like we're picking at the Patriots' warts and we're ignoring the other ones.
What?
It seems like we're picking at
well,
the Patriots'
warts. I don't
Patriots
know the Bengals' warts at this point.
Exactly.
But what is the Bengals' strength?
Who's the big power?
I think
the
they have
AFC
a very good offense.
About?
I think when you put Gresham with the kid out of Notre Dame who's looked good in the preseason. With A.J. Green, I think you have a pretty good offense. I think the rookie running back adds them.
I like Dalton, but I don't love me some Dalton.
With weapons around him, yes. I don't think he's good enough to carry an offense, but I think when you put playmakers around him, he's good enough. And I think they have a very physical defense that can get after people. And by the way, I watched one game of James Harrison, and I think he can play.
If you're going to ask me one team in the AFC that is a threat to win the championship that hasn't, been a threat, I would say the Bengals. I would agree with you.
I like
then,
the Bengals.
Then you really are worried then. Because there's got to be four or five teams better than the Bengals in the AFC.
No, I'm talking about teams that haven't been a threat that now could be. Like I think Denver's better, yeah, but they've been a threat to win the AFC. Baltimore, Pittsburgh, they've been threats. But I'm talking
Houston.
About a team
have
that, an emerging team, I think that could now be
a threat.
I think
Houston's sort of liking where they are right now in terms of the attempt. They seem to be really... Like, everybody, they're content to let everybody think that they're just a big tease. They're kind of like flying around. The one concern I would have is Arian Foster for them, who is still not healthy. But I think that they're looking at it. The guy they got out of Clemson, Hopkins, is having, by all accounts, a pretty good preseason. That's what they badly needed was another option outside of Andre Johnson. I think there's some good teams, but I just don't think there are any teams that I would sit there and say, I can't see the Patriots beating that team.
Right.
And I don't think Andy's saying that either. You know, just,
I just if I lump up seven teams that I can see them losing to, well, that's a lot.
Yeah, but you couldn't see them losing to some teams that they beat last year?
Oh, sure.
I'm sure you could have.
Sure.
You know, I mean, I don't.
But I don't think they're
going to count them all up.
I think they've taken a step back with the loss of Hernandez and the uncertainty.
So in other words,
Gronk.
What you're saying is there'd be a better chance.
That they
maybe
lose. Yes.
They maybe
but here's
and by
like,
the way, Amendola is missing practice.
First day of training camp. Okay. Do you feel better about this team now than you did then?
All right. You know, I got Andy's back here. I only counted five teams on the schedule last year that I would have said going into the season they have a chance to lose. Baltimore, Denver, Seattle, Houston, and San Francisco. The rest of the teams, I would have said they had no chance to lose this game. Now, they lost one of those games to Arizona, but I would have said going into the season, no chance that Arizona could
beat them. Good question, Fred. Do I feel better about this team than I did on the opening day of camp?
I feel better than I did.
I do, too.
Before camp started.
I do, too.
Now, not discernibly better. Not as. Let's put it this way. We'll come full circle. I'll checkmark the whole media again. Not as much as the rest of the media is feeling better about it.
I don't feel better. I feel worse.
You do?
Yes.
Why?
Now, you're going to laugh.
I'm inherently negative. But the cornerback situation scares the hell out of me with Dennard and Dowling not playing and Kyle Arrington now being your starter and Marquise Cole taking a lot of reps in the slot. I have, like, nightmares of that
But the
scenario.
Fact that they haven't made any moves, doesn't that say – does it say that
– I don't like starting guys hurt before the year starts.
I also don't think that
and
those
B,
guys healthy
all right,
are
then
that
you
good.
Don't like any season because there always are those.
Amendola is hurt, is missing practice. That's a concern.
Okay.
You know, the concern about him was he can't stay healthy and whether – people are saying it's a nick, which led to a rest day. However, you're sort of – packaging him missing practice yesterday concerns me.
Okay. So you don't feel as good as you did on day one. Whatever.
I feel better than I did.
And I didn't
going
feel great either
camp.
Time.
See, I feel better.
Why?
I'm a little bit, my concerns have eased a little bit on the offense.
Why?
Just because I've seen some of these guys do things that I didn't know they could do. I didn't know who Kenbrell Tompkins was.
And what's he done?
But what have you
5
seen
yards
him do?
A catch.
Just make plays.
Really? I haven't seen a single play out of any of those young guys.
Yeah. See, that I would – to me, I wasn't that worried.
That's my concern. They've been out there, but have they made plays?
Zach Sudfeld's not a young guy?
Oh,
Zach
I thought Sudfeld. You meant receivers.
Zach Sudfeld has
I'm
made
talking
plays.
About the offense in general.
Yeah, I'm concerned about the receiver
I was worried
position.
That I was worried that in the first preseason game, we see Stephen Ridley, you know, running like a newborn deer because he's afraid to fumble, and I don't see that. I see him running with confidence.
I gotta like piece it together.
He invents things to be worried
running
about.
Like a newborn
well,
deer.
Well, he dropped the ball three times in practice, and I, you know, he lost some reps to, Vereen. at one point.
Do we know that?
In the second game, didn't he?
I don't know that to be the case.
You know, I wasn't worried about the offense going in because of Brady.
So Brady has looked really good.
I can't be a fraud now and say I feel better about the team now because the offense is good. No, I mean, I was saying these things.
My fears are easing a little bit at this point.
I just don't see why.
Andy, as you always make fun of me, I always tell you, someone will catch the ball. I wasn't worried. And this is kind of my theory. I agree with Andy. I think that the three wide receivers have been thoroughly average, despite the commentary.
And by the way, I've been excited about each of them at various points.
Tom Brady. We were worried that they couldn't.
I think they've done nothing on the offense. The three, those in the two games, they've done nothing.
How did Brady be 18 out of 20 if they've done nothing?
Because he threw it to Amendola.
Five times.
Six times for 71 yards and a touchdown.
Six times. What about the other?
One of the other touchdown drives was six runs, all runs.
Okay, I'm just saying
the rookie receivers have done nothing with Brady in games.
Tompkins has done okay.
He really hasn't.
He's averaged five yards a catch.
Concerns me.
That's fine. He's okay.
And he's thrown nothing.
Don't take this as a criticism of the rookie receivers. What I'm saying is I wasn't worried about the offense because I know Tom will make do with what he has.
Right. And now that I'm seeing what he has, I'm feeling a little bit better.
Yeah.
I had no idea what he had before.
And what does he have?
But what does he have is my point.
He has one receiver who averages. That's all, you know.
But they haven't. That's my point. In the two games, they haven't made a lot of catches. Amendola has, but the other three haven't. That's Andy's point. Dobson
and by
has
the
three
way,
catches.
I've been excited
ben
about
Vereen
each of the three.
Has looked good.
Yes, he
That's
has.
That's not one of the rookie receivers. That's one of the reasons why I was bullish on the offense.
But the offense in general, I said I'm feeling a little bit better about the offense. Yeah.
But I didn't think the offense was going to completely poop itself.
Right, you didn't.
I thought it was going to be not as good, not as able to make key plays at key times. And if the defense isn't better, now all of a sudden you're in a little hang-up. Who makes plays? And right now, and again, I have been riding the roller coaster as I normally do throughout camp. I liked Dobson for a while. I liked Tompkins for a while.
You did love
I liked
you
Boyce
some Dobson for
a, while.
For a while.
That one day when Boyce blew by the safeties, I loved that. Unfortunately, I've been living off that play in my head for about 2.5 weeks now. Amendola has looked good. My concern with him is, to me, your major concern overall was Amendola's health, and he missed a day of practice. That's not good. That scares me.
Yeah, but I'm not ready to be worried about the fact that he missed a day because of health yet.
But you're not inherently negative.
Well, you're not either. You're just
a little bit of a
cynic. You're playing one
on TV.
I'm a cynic. You're playing one on TV. You're not as negative as you're trying to be.
It's a rest day, but it was a nick that led to a rest day. Then it's not totally just a rest day.
I think what they're saying is
if
it was a game, he would have played.
It's not a rest day. We can
put that
away. But
he's not going to play in the game.
There's no way he would be getting a rest day, right?
I don't know.
It's more than just a rest. A rest to me is there's no issue. There's no physical thing. I want him off his feet.
He's an old coot, and I'm giving him a break.
There's a reason why they're giving him a rest.
Right.
All right.
There's a reason why they're giving him a rest.
So the fact that it's more than just a rest day concerns me.
Okay. All right. Well, that's going to be it for this edition.
Way to leave on a high, Fred. Nice job.
Thanks. We're just getting into something.
We're back on Thursday. I'll be here for the first half, and then I got to go to Detroit.
Wait a minute. So,
are we doing a show?
What are you talking about?
Oh, no. There's no show on Thursday.
And you're going to be gone on Wednesday.
Oh, yeah.
We'll be here for the PPGS.
P-Game Social on Thursday.
What do we got, a 7:30 start? So 5:15, PPGS.
The pregame social, PPGS.
And hopefully with the Beatle Bertrand
right
at the start.
All right, thanks for listening. Sometimes I'm crazy, they wonder why. I'm
such a baby, cause the dog and that was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.